Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Truth Be Told Radio. Join us once again for the radio show that gives you teaching and preaching from a biblical perspective.
Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, and I don't know if I have my co-host on here. Not yet. I may have Melissa on here, or I'm the co-host. She's the host. She's having technical difficulties at her home, so I'm starting the show. Sorry, I started a little late. Our church is starting a puppet team to reach as an outreach, and got done with puppet team practice a minute ago. Boy, you could possibly say that. That could probably be a joke. I just got done with puppet team, and boys, my arms are tired. That's bad pun. Anyway, but if I had any sound effects, I would go, you know. Anyhow, welcome to the show. Today, hopefully, we're going to have Christian rapper on, Preston Cagley. Lives in Anderson, Indiana. I think he had a show last night at the First Church of God in Marion, Indiana. Hopefully we'll have him on, talk a little bit about his music and his testimony. So again, you listen to Truth Be Told Radio. Let's bring on, I don't know if this is the host or not. We'll check it out. Hello, caller, are you there?
This is
Melissa. Hey.
Yeah.
Chicago's wild.
Yeah, 951's my area code.
You what now? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
951's my area code.
We're a little bit different, a little bit flip-flopped, but I think it's going to be okay today. So how's it going,
Melissa? All right. We might have to do this more than once because right now I'm without a computer, and my dad's going to get me. Well, I have one, but like it doesn't have internet yet, so. My dad's going to give me internet probably, like, next month, so we might have to do this more than once. But for now, you're going to be at command at the switchboard and everything. So.
Oh, everyone, it's dangerous now. It's dangerous.
Well, I do have...
Oh, no.
I do have some articles from this magazine. It's we usually play their clips about 14 minutes. It's called Institute for Creation Research, ICR.org. And I have some that I can read. There's one that I wanted to read because it's pretty short. It's called Bunnies, Bugs, Darwin. So I thought that'd be interesting to read. And
okay.
So in case we have more time later to fill up, I could read from those. It's their magazine called Acts and Facts, and this is September 2009 issue. It says Christianity on the Public Stage. That's the title for this month's magazine for them. And as for me, I'm doing okay. I actually had to move. I moved to Long Beach, but this is temporary. But I'm going to move to Artesia, and that's going to be my more permanent place where I live. And but I'm still going to be doing the radio show because I enjoy that. And thank you for doing the switchboard for today, Guy. And tell me about how your week went.
That went okay. Went pretty good. I started, those of you who maybe with college sports, I've got invited to be in something called Committee 101 Club. It's for the University of Kentucky, and we basically volunteer through all of the football and basketball games, and And I did my first football game. You're basically usher. But they're real distinguished. You know, they wear blue jackets and ties and everything like that. And they're at every game, volunteering, ushering, things like that. And once again, if you're not a sports fan, it might not be. I mean, I've never went to a Kentucky football game. This was my first one yesterday, so it was pretty exciting. And get to go to Kentucky basketball games. And if anyone lives in Kentucky that is a basketball fan knows, that's a big deal.
Is it professional or is it high school or what
it's
kind
college,
of?
College.
Oh, college.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I think it's something, you know, it also, I'm using it for outreach too, because I bring tracks with me. It's 2 hours away in Lexington, Kentucky, and before the game, before I go into the game, I'm there 2 hours earlier, so I get to pass out some tracks, and then after the game, I could do the same thing and pass out tracks, things like that. So I'm hoping that, and having conversations maybe with some of the guys driving up there. It's a two-hour drive, so any guys that I carpool with up there, have some good conversations with them. So I was fortunate enough to ride with a guy I work with who's a Christian, and we got to have some good conversation down and back up. So serves a lot of purposes for that. So I'm hoping I can use that, and God is going to help use that for some type of outreach in some way. So I'm going to be doing more than just ushering football and basketball games. So I'm praying that God will use it for His glory. So that's what's been going on with me that this week. And, of course, I'm going to be going to some of the, on Saturdays, be going to some of the football and basketball games and things to, as much as I can, because it's a volunteer basis. So also got to talk to some people that I work with, had some good conversations with them. God opened some doors. Praise Him for that this week. And got some much-needed Bible reading with my kids this week. We're in the book of John. This morning, we finished chapter 15. So I can read some of that, too. And also, I want to get on, and I'd like to jump on and maybe read some Project Ezra suggested scripture. In case anyone don't know what Project Ezra is, on Facebook, they have a page, Project Ezra, I believe you search. And they challenge anyone, United States, over the world, it doesn't matter where you're at, to publicly read Scripture out in the open air. And if you, God gives you the courage to open air after you've read the Scripture, but if not, just read the Scripture out loud, public, and then put the Bible away, of course. So, but it's just a chance to have the Word of God being read out publicly. While we still can, because there will become a time where it will be, well, I really believe that. I think a lot of theologians and Christians would agree also is that it will be outlawed and possibly be thrown in jail for doing it, for even having a Bible, and which is happening in other countries. It's coming here. I don't doubt it. So.
Is there is the guest expected to come on this hour?
Yeah, Preston Kegley, he is a Christian rapper. I had actually sent a message on his Facebook. I don't have his cell number. I thought I did have his cell number. All it's on there is his Facebook. His Facebook, you can put in Kegley, PrestonKegley. He's from Anderson, Indiana, a Christian rapper. Matter of fact, I'll pop on one of his songs right now just in case he might call. I don't know. On one of the songs, I got it already in the queue here. I don't know if we played this last week. We had a lot of stuff last week we didn't play, so this is one of them. So let's listen to, this is my little girl's favorite song. It's called All to Me Is You by Preston Kegley. Listen to Truth Be Told Radio.
Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything. Everything is me. Every day to get, goes out to my faith, daddy, keep, all, Kegley, my boy, Rossi, every system, let's get it, you heard, the heart to me, from my head to my soul, to the bottom, I'm a shooter, Lord knows, that I don't stay true, man, truly the light, that I found in Christ, the diet of the word, like a big bowl of rice, I got my big bowl of rice, so when it's time to run the ring, I'm gonna run, son, and check.
at the game face. It's my reflection of grace. I got my shine on, just like a star in space. Bring that track back, hear the footsteps click clack. Keep praising for the Lord, get my group on the back. You know we rep the king on this joint like the Disney kid. My guy's taking a point, man, he's taking a point. And his son took three, he gave up his life. So now I'm 15, now I'm free to be who I be. So I'ma give all I can to the Lord's army. Get your hands up, let me see you throw them down. Get your hands up, don't let me do a wet thing. Get your hands up, let me see your head down. Get your hands up, from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw them down. Get your hands up, from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head down. Get your hands up, from the north to the south side. Back in the saddle like a cowboy on the range. Play you think I'm crazy, not riding the range. But I ain't riding the range, I ain't got time for the game. Focus on the mission, son, we work for change. Change of the heart, not in a tip class. I ain't gonna tip class, I got my foot on the gas. Gas to the floor, pedal to the metal. Change coming quick, hit the switches to the next level. We breaking out, see us diverging on like the X-Men. Son, we breaking the storm. The winds are changing, blowing with the back of the pack is growing. Reaching for a new, like us, remixing old school flowing. Like a river in the rain, filling up the game. No praise to myself, only to one name. Ain't got time to stop for anything, like I'm in the Olympics. Son, I'm running with the plane. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up, from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up, from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up, from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up, from the north to the south side. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. The Lord of me is you. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. Lord, all to me is you. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up, from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up, from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up, from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. From the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Get your hands up, let me see you throw down. Get your hands up from the east to the west side. Get your hands up, let me see your head bound. Get your hands up from the north to the south side. Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you all of me. All of me is everything, everything in me. Who am I supposed to be? I know I feel you calling me to you. All to me is you.
Welcome back, Truth Be Told Radio. That was Preston Cagley. Well, he's not called yet, so I don't know if he got the message on Facebook or not, but if we don't have him on this week, I'll make a plan and make sure we get him on next week. And I messaged him earlier in the week and said, untimely rapper's term, I'm down. So I guess that means good to go. He wants to be on, so... really nice guy, though. Really nice guy. You know, there's not enough of that. There's someone in the chat room that said that there's not enough of what our kids need. You know, is the right theological preaching. And we've Preston and Shylan and Lecrae, and there's a few other rappers out there that have it right. You there, Melissa?
Well, yeah, I was gonna say What level did you play that at?
Let's see. I'm not sure.
Because
I think it was 50%. Let me see here. Yeah,
50%. Better at 25%. Because I don't know if it was just me, but I couldn't understand all of it. Like, sound like distorted, or maybe that was just me. I couldn't understand it.
I apologize. I will, though. The next song we do, which I'm trying to get some Go Fish on here, and also some more apologetics, which I like to play stuff that's not me. Right?
So you have any other clips ready, like from features or anything?
I've got... some we didn't get to last week.
Okay.
Either way, the master stuff or some open air stuff. So I can let's see here. I'm trying to get some of this stuff downloaded so we can get going here. Anyway.
Are you Ray Comfort? I think you have some of those.
Yeah, I believe I've got. One we didn't play. I don't believe last week he's talking about some Mexican birds. What this is. And I'll play that here in just a second, and then we'll get into apologetics. I think I got one apologetics song here. This is from a set of CDs called Budding Springboard for Budding Open Air Preachers, and basically ways to go from the natural into the spiritual. And he gives you many examples, but they all lead into the law and the gospel, which is what we're supposed to be preaching. So I'll give you an example. Ray Comfort talks about this. He's preaching outside of a courthouse in California, as he did, and they recorded all the open airs he did in the courthouse to put them on this set of CDs. You can get them at livingwaters.com, livingwaters.com. Once again, this is Truth Be Told Radio. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/truthbetoldradio. Also, you can search us on Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio, and we have truthbetoldradio.com. We'll be giving our email addresses and stuff so you can get a hold of us a little bit. Let's listen to Ray Comfort now. That's a Mexican bird. This is Truth Be Told Radio, blogtalkradio.com.
Many years ago, I had a bird aviary. If you know anything about birds, when you purchase them from bird stores, what they do is they don't put them in a cage when you buy new birds. They actually put them in a paper bag. They seal the top of the bag, they put staples in the top, and they put little holes for the birds to breathe, get fresh air. These two birds were called, I think, Java sparrows. Java sparrows have got very fine gray feathers, bright pink eyes, red circles around the eyes, and a very bright reddish beak. Very impressive looking birds. I took this bag of birds back to my office and put the bag on the desk in my office. And I was very intrigued and fascinated by how people reacted when they came into my office. They'd come in and say, "Hey, Ray," and they'd talk to me about something, and suddenly they'd be distracted by this bag that was on my desk that moved by itself. They'd say, "Hey, what's that?" I'd say, "Take a look, a couple of birds." They'd pick them up, look through the little hole, and everyone would have the same reaction. They'd go, "Whoa, what sort of birds are those?" And I took great delight in saying, "Mexican eyepeckers." And everybody reacted exactly the same. They'd pull it back because we want to protect our eyes. I don't know if you realize it, but you're being created with senses even on your skin. If you lean on a hot plate and you wait for your brain to think about it, say, "Oh, I'm leaning on a hot plate. I could get burned." By the time you think about it, you'll be severely burned. There are sensors on your skin that react automatically, irrespective of your will. It's an instinct. You'll pull back. Same with your eyes. If I came along the line today and went to poke out one of your eyes, you'd immediately, instinctively react to protect your eyes with your hands. Now, that thought in mind, I've got a thought for you. Imagine if I was an eye doctor, and today I'm offering $1 million for an eye. We want to transplant eyes. And I can take one of your eyes out in 1 hour. Painless operation. We'll take the eye out, slip a little glass eye in the slot. The glass eye will look as good as the other eye. It just won't look as good as the other eye. You won't be able to see through one eye. would you sell an eye for $1 million? He said, and I would consider that. Okay, here it is. Would you sell both of your eyes for $20 million? You say, hey, $20 million? Whoa, now I can see the world. Nope, you won't see a thing. You'll never gaze into the eyes of your children. You'll never look at a sunset again. You'll never see the blueness of the sky. You'll never look at God's creation again. You won't even see the inside of your eyelids. You just have blackness forever until the day you die. And I guarantee nobody in his right mind would even for a moment consider selling both of his eyes for $20 million, $50 million, $100 million. Your eyes are precious, they're priceless, and yet they're merely the windows of your soul. Your life looks through these little windows called eyes. You've got little shutters. You shut the shutters, and you can't see out the eyes. Now, Jesus said you're to despise the value of those precious eyes compared to the value of your soul. He put it this way. If your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. He said if your eye causes you to sin, just pull it out, priceless though it may be, and don't leave it hanging around. Cast it from you. And then he said, for it's better to enter heaven without an eye than to go to hell with both of your eyes. In other words, of all the things you should prioritize in this life, it's not your health, it's not your eyesight, it's the salvation of your soul, that very life that is precious to you. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And I want you to know I'm here today not to get your money, there's no collection, not to say to join a church, it's just to ask you to consider the salvation of your soul. Think of your eye and how you value it, how much more you should value your eternal salvation. Where are you going to spend eternity? And the way I'm going to hopefully cause you to consider the salvation of your soul is just very briefly go through the Ten Commandments so you might see yourself from God's perspective. Now, as you notice in our city today, there's no smog. Look around. Clean as a whistle. Blue sky. Clean air. It's the other cities that have a smog problem. You can see the smog in the other cities. The trouble is you go to those other cities and look around, you say there's no smog problem here. What you must do is see it. Truth is get in a plane and fly over Los Angeles and you see that we're breathing in black poison. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't see it clearly. Well, I want to give you God's perspective on sin. Because when you're a person living in sin, you don't see yourself in truth. God's perspective is this. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says we're all as an unclean thing and all our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. So let's go through those commandments so you might see yourself from God's perspective. Let's go to the heavy one. You shall not kill. That means you shall not murder. Doesn't mean you shouldn't step on an ant. It means you shouldn't take the life of another human being. You say, oh, well, I haven't committed that sin. Listen to what the Bible says. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. The Bible says God requires truth in the inward parts. And he considers the desire the same as the deed. You shall not commit adultery. But listen to what Jesus said. Whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Ever hated someone? Ever lusted after another person? Then you've violated those two commandments. Ever told a lie? Ever stolen something? Then you're a lying thief. Ever desired something belongs to somebody else? That's covetousness. Violation of the 10th commandment. First commandment is you shall have no other gods before me. That means God should be first in your affections. He lavished his goodness upon you. He gave you life. He gave you those eyes that you value. That brain you think with. Those hands that you pick up things. God created you. You're not an accident. The Bible says he's familiar with every hair upon your head. Every thought within your heart. The Psalm said, there's not a word on my tongue. But lo, O Lord, that you know it all together. Nothing you've ever said, God hasn't heard. Nothing you've ever done, God hasn't seen. He sees everything. All things lay open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to give an account. Now think of those commandments. Think how you've used his name in vain. Use the name of God as a cuss word. Think of how you've violated the second commandment by creating a God in your own image. Making a God to suit yourself when there is one God who is perfect, holy, and righteous. And he's the one you've got to stand in front of. Now, folks, I know this isn't pleasant looking at our sins from God's perspective, but we have to face them on Judgment Day. And if we die in our sins, the Bible says we'll end up in hell. The scriptures warn all liars of their part in the lake of fire. But the scriptures say the same judge, the same holy, righteous creator, is rich in mercy. It's because of his mercy he became a person in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this earth to suffer and die for the sin of the world. The Bible says he was bruised for our iniquities. Jesus paid your fine in his life's blood so you could leave the courtroom. You're waiting to go to court today, probably because you violated the law. Imagine if someone paid your fine. You accept that payment, then you're free to go. The judge will say, you're out of here, the fine is paid. That's what Jesus Christ did for you in his life's blood. He suffered and died for the sin of the world. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were rebels, holding our fist in rebellion to God, unthankful, unholy, not concerned about the God who gave us life, not considering his demands for one moment. Drinking in iniquity like water, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then he rose again on the third day and defeated death. And now the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the only one who can save you from God's wrath. No other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved, only through Jesus Christ. So please, consider seriously the claims of the Bible. Think about your eternal salvation. Because again, there is nothing more important than where you spend eternity. Remember what Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So realize today that God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. So make sure you repent. Don't just confess your sins to God, confess and forsake them. And don't just believe in Jesus, trust in him as you trust a parachute Savior. Folks, please do it today. You may not be here tomorrow. Did you know that every single month in America alone, 45,000 people die of cancer? Cancer could be within your body at the moment. The odds are one or two people on this line have got terminal cancer. You say, I hope it's not me, it's always someone else. Human nature believes that. But I tell you what, if you found that you had cancer today, you would cry out, oh God, I don't want to die. That's your God-given will to live. Listen to it, because you have a terminal disease. You are dying. Today you could be swept into eternity. Could be tomorrow. Somebody finds they've got cancer. At least they're stopped in their tracks. At least they're humbled by the disease. To turn to God, so they have an advantage over you who are not concerned the fact that you're going to die, that you are terminal. So think about these issues and think about why I'm speaking to you. This isn't fun. I don't like doing this. I don't want your money. I'm not saying join a church. I do it only because I care about you and where you spend eternity. So please give that some consideration.
Welcome back, Truth Be Told Radio. Again, that was Ray Comfort preaching outside of the California courthouse many years ago. That's on the springboards for budding preachers. A CD set, you can get it from livingwaters.com. There's other resources there, too. We're going to take a quick break. Again, you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Don't mind that. It's just Wonder Woman getting her act together.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Mom, Wonder Wife. Wonder what in the world you're doing? This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. Priorities. So many women rush off in all directions at once or no direction at all. God is the only one who can get you started in the right direction. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The thinking goes like this. If you want God to be first in your life, put Him first in your life today. Before the day gets out of hand, read your Bible. Fill your mind with God's mind. It's a wonderful way to get started. This is Elizabeth George.
Proverbs 15:13 says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful. That's the power of comedy. It has the power to tear down barriers and to bring people together. For over two decades, Christian comedian Nazareth has been making audiences laugh.
Like poor countries, they don't have junk food. They're always fighting. Wherever there's a Burger King, there's peace. Because after eating a double whopper, you don't want to fight.
Nazareth was born in the biblical town of Nazareth and grew up in Kuwait.
Someone had the nerve to take me to a zoo, a small zoo. I paid $20 to see an elephant, a camel, a bull, and a donkey. In my country, that's a car dealership.
After several years of living in America and experiencing worldly success but no happiness, a Christian comedian introduced him to Christ, and Nazareth has been using his comedy for the kingdom ever since. If you're looking for a powerful outreach tool to touch church members and those who wouldn't ordinarily set foot in a church, consider Nazareth. Find out more today by going to www.nazarethusa.com or by calling 1-866-9-LAUGHS. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome back, Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, the host, Melissa Canchola. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah. I was going to say, you played that clip about the Mexican bird. The part that he's talked about, I think I was reading that today, is like Matthew 18, when he was talking about, like, better to, like, lose your life or the things about, like, better your...
It's better to pluck out your eye.
Yeah.
Because your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, or it's better
to
have
one eye. Before the show.
Yeah.
I was reading that before the show
came on. Yeah, that's, and it also talks about your hand. You know, who would want to cut their hand off? The Bible says if it causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter heaven with one hand than hell with both.
Well, we have to emphasize that he's using hyperbole because I don't want anybody to take that literally.
right, exactly. It's a symbol of losing something and gaining heaven. Anything that causes you to sin, you need to mortify it in your life. Anything. I'm not talking about the physical stuff because we're in a spiritual war. You know, Ephesians, I believe in chapter 6, it talks about this being a spiritual war. Not a physical one at all. So don't let us get that straight, that it's spiritual. And everything we do and our whole mindset needs to be spiritual when dealing with sin. We have Prophet Michael in the chat room, and he wanted to ask if we could throw his Block Talk Radio show out there. He's from London, England. Throw it out there. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/NWLEM. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/NWLEM. And the tens and tens of listeners, or the one or two listeners that we possibly have.
Did you find out what it's about?
Yeah, it's actually a prayer and biblical prophecy interpretation study.
Oh, okay.
Similar to what I'm doing on Truth Decay. So, Prophet Michael, we'll promote each other's show. It's awesome. He's out of London. It's on every day at 6 p.m. He does it every day at 6 p.m. I don't know what time it is on London time. probably tell me this in the chat room. But he says it's a prayer and deliverance show. The main theme is to reveal and educate people about the Antichrist. There's lots of shows about that, too. So... Obviously, we need to stay biblical and everything. I agree with that, and warning people about it. And traversely, on the other end of it, my show is about false prophets and false Christs. that are going to rise up in the last day. So basically, I'm glad you came in, Prophet Michael, and fact of our shows could go hand in hand. Mine's called Truth Decay, and it's just blogtalkradio.com/truthdecay. It's on Mondays at 5:30, from 5:30 to 6:30. Okay, so let's throw our go ahead, Melissa.
Oh, what time zone is that you're talking about?
General Mountain Time, GMT. It says 6 p.m.
Okay.
GMT.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael, for being in there. Appreciate you being in the chat room and listening. And I'm sure his show is very informative. Matter of fact, I could get my friend Chan to possibly call in his show and talk on his day off. So it might be something that he would want to do. So Prophet Michael, stay with us in the chat room there if you're there, and we could talk, and I can get you information on that. Getting a hold of my friend Chan. His one of his main specialties is times prophecy and things like that. So might be pretty cool. Uploading stuff as we're speaking, trying to get stuff going. Let me refresh the switchboard here, and everything will be all right. Hey, I do want to get on Atheist Central, Ray Kemper's blog. A lot of exciting things going on at there. Talking about the Charles Darwin, the Origin of Species. They're, in case anyone didn't know, they're giving away the Origin of Species on 100 universities, possibly more. I know a buddy of mine, Vernon, I go out and witness him with. He lives in Huntington, West Virginia, which is very close to me, and they have Marshall University. I know the movie We Are Marshall. That's where it was at that Marshall University, and he signed on to give away 1,000 copies of Origin of Species. And of course, the atheists are really getting torqued at this because Ray's written a foreword for the book. Basically showing the Christian stance on it. They're not liking it. So let me read real quick the Atheist Central, Ray Comfort's blog. It's raycomfortfood.blogspot.com, raycomfortfood.blogspot.com. He has aptly titled it Atheist Central because so many atheists message him and email him and comment there. So the title of Friday, September 18th, blog was The Origin of Species Giveaway is Getting Bigger. Now heading for 100 universities and 100,000 copies, and it will be the entire book, every jot and tittle. How wonderful that 100,000 students will get a complete copy of Origin of Species with a full color cover. The publication will have a total of 304 pages. Thanks to advice from atheists and others, the new introduction will address Darwin's racism and how he was truly a gentleman who was adamantly against slavery, and it will clarify his apparent degeneration of women. Besides, the moral character of Charles Darwin is irrelevant to the theory of evolution, just as the theory of relativity should stand on its own merits and not on the morality of Albert Einstein. I will also make it clear that Hitler abused his theory and is also irrelevant to whether or not it's true. I want this introduction to be a fair-minded, free from prejudice against Darwin, no straw men or quote mining. I'm sure many of you won't believe that, but it's the truth. I think this is a good thing that they're doing in colleges. Of course, Christians would think it's a good thing, but atheists are getting worried about it because of the introduction he's writing. And obviously, in any type of, not just debate, but any type of conversation, people want give their side on it, I think, and Ray Comfort's giving the Christian side of the Origin of Species and giving it away during things. So letting people make their own decision. What do you think about that, Melissa?
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. It's kind of funny that they're putting the creation in it, but it's good for people to know because that's the other side of it, and it's a clever way to put it in there. I was curious, if you want to give those out, do you have to, pay for them yourself, or are they given to the people like free?
I think they send them. They send them to the person, the box of them, and the person just gives them out. Everything's given out. I don't think they pay for them. Nobody. I mean, obviously they're paid for, but
yeah.
I believe it was from donors. Donors donated money to have the book published, and so many copies given out. So
contact like the William Waters, or
you contact Tony Miano.
Uh huh.
He's on Facebook, and it's Tony, M-I-A-N-O, I believe, and if you want to do it, I believe they're going to do it in November.
Okay.
Commemorating the 200th anniversary of Origin of Species. They're going to coincide that with that, so.
Yeah, I might try it. Someone probably already said do it. Like, it's not a university, but it's a college, a three-year college. I wonder if someone said do it there. If they aren't, then.
It was Cerritos College?
Yeah, it's not really a university, but it's a college.
Yeah, I think Tony Miano is going to be there doing that one. I think
he's
got a small crew of people out there to do that. So.
Oh, that's cool. Do you know what state it is?
Whatever the 200th anniversary, I don't have the date right off. We will get the date.
Yeah, I'll look that up later. Yeah.
Okay. But once again, Origin of Species is going to be given away on 100 college campuses, possibly more.
Wow.
There's major campuses out there. Then there's ones, you know, like Marshall University, like Cerritos, that that still need it. And I'm sure these college kids will have anything free. I mean, anything free, they'll just lap it up,
well,
I think.
Yeah, a free book. Somebody's going to take it, fellas.
So, anyway, you have your articles right with you, handy, and you can start your articles now, or?
Yeah, I'm going to read it. Let me find it. Let me see. It's the part I was going to read for now, because it's pretty short. It goes with this, actually. It says, it's called Bunnies Plug Darwin by Frank Sherwin, M.A. So I'm going to read that. It's only like one page long, so it's pretty short. And, okay, here we go. It says, rabbits are cosmopolitan herbivorous mammals in the scientific order Lagomorpha, which includes cottontails, cicas, conies, and hares. Rabbits burrow and give birth to blind, naked young, whereas hares are born above ground, fully furred and eyes open. Cicas' hind limbs are only slightly longer than their forelimbs. Tooth structure is one big difference between rodents, gnawing mammals, and the lagomorphs, spelled Lagomorphs, both have long incisors that constantly grow. But unlike rodents, lagomorphs have additional peg-like incisors behind the first pair. Most fossil mammals are fragmentary, sometimes containing just teeth. The enamel microstructure of various mammal teeth differs widely, but each corresponds to a certain animal kind. The various specifications that are uniquely combined to form tooth structures clearly indicate that they were specially made for their resident animals. These present tough barriers for Darwinian evolution to cross. For example, evolutionary scientists look to a late Eocene fossil, E-O-C-E-N-E, dubbed Mimolagus, M-I-M-O-L-A-G-U-S, though it is known only by a few teeth. But Mimolagus is not mentioned in a number of prominent evolutionary texts. There seems to be no evidential connection between Mimolagus and its supposed ancestor, Mimotoma, spelled M-I-M-O-T-O-M-A, of the Paleocene, known only by remains of some facial bones and teeth. True lagomorph teeth have been found from the mid-late Eocene and assigned to a genus called Lushilagus, L-U-S-H-I-L-A-G-U-S, which could not have evolved from Mimolagus due to the evolutionary dating discrepancies. Evolution texts would be trumpeting these fossils as transitional if they were obviously were, but instead the books are silent. Fossils of these specialized teeth do not do notion, however, paleontologists have persisted for over a century in trying to trace which teeth structures evolved into which. If Darwinism is true, the fossil teeth of mammals should show transitions or some gradual morphing from one tooth structure to another. Instead, the teeth appear in discarded groups. What was the origin of lagomorphs? Were these furry creatures created, or did they evolve from non-rabbit ancestors millions of years ago? Vertebrate expert and evolutionist Edwin Colbert stated, originating in Paleocene times, lagomorphs first became abundant in Oligocene epoch, and they have continued their abundance into modern times. True rabbit fossils appear in the rock record alongside most other mammals in what has been called the placental explosion. Typically interpreted as having begun roughly 60 million years ago. These stratified fossils of the first anteaters, pangolins, rodents, bats, hedgehogs, dogs, camels, whales, horses, hyraxes, elephants, dugongs, and many others, as well as a few mammalian forms that are now extinct. A March 2008 report described a 53 million old rabbit foot bone that indicated true rabbits existed millions of years before evolutionists had previously thought. The foot bone was fully rabbit, and previous transitions are conspicuously lacking. A diagram in Colbert's Evolution of the Vertebrates clearly shows rodents as rodents and lagomorphs as lagomorphs. This is also consistent with figure 10.47 and Michael Fenton's paleontology text showing the sudden and separate origin of rodents and lagomorphs. In the Oxford Dictionary of Zoology, editor Michael Allaby states, the lagomorphs are believed to have diverged from a primitive eutherian stock at the same time as or soon after the rodents. Colbert says now paleontologists are returning to the view of the rabbits and rodents are closely related. But to believe or waffle between views exposes the fact that there is no evidence for rabbit or rodent evolution. And that was an article about bunnies, Bug Darwin, and it's in the Institute for Creation magazine. You can get one at if they have a digital one at www.icr.org, September 2009 issue about Christianity on the public stage. So that was a very cerebral one. It's kind of hard to understand. So it's good if you could get the article yourself and read it over. But it's just
it's something to sink your teeth into.
Yeah. They're basically just saying that rabbits are not easily said to evolution. Like, there's no, like, there should be, like transitional forms. So it's, like, kind of hard for them to explain rabbits. That's basically what it's saying, like, where they come from. Like, you can't explain it easily with evolution. That's basically what the article is saying.
Yeah, even Darwin said it at one time, right before he died. He talked about transitional forms, and he said, I don't have the exact quote on here. I can't get the exact quote, but he had said if within 10 years' time of my death, within 10 years' time, if they don't find any transitional form, by my calculations, Darwin says, my whole theory would completely break down. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
He's been dead for many years, so he's still not finding any transitional forms. Let me explain what transitional forms is. It's one species transitioning into another species. For instance, a fish becoming a dog or a dog becoming a bunny, for instance. They haven't found any fossils like that. Now, they piece together a bunch. If you ever go to the Smithsonian, you'll see a bunch pieced together. And, I mean, that's why evolution is still a theory. It hasn't been proven. People say there's no scientific proof, and they say, well, there's scientific proof of evolution. Well, there's yet to be any produced, so go ahead.
It's like you said, they piece together, like, anything that they have, even from, like, when they show, like, it's supposed to be, like, an ape to a man, they're usually just drawings or something that somebody's created, maybe with the animatronics or whatever it is, something that they've just created. They haven't got any, as far as I've seen, like, real transitions, like, that's without somebody drawing it or creating it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I can draw a bird dog and literally make it part bird, part dog, and people can say, well, we can make a model of that, and we could say we found these bones and whatever will be the next pad. I mean, that don't make it true just because it's someone's drawing. So the fact of the matter is there's not any proof. There's never been any proof. Matter of fact, there's a guy named Dr. Dino. I think it's drdino.com. He is offering a large amount, more of an amount of money than Intelligent Design versus Evolution.com. They're offering $10,000 for proof of the evolution is true. Transitional forms, whatever they want to throw out there. Dr. Dino, I think, is offering $75,000 or $50,000 or something to someone who can prove evolution. He's willing to give up his own money. But that site's been out. He has been doing this for over 27 years. So and no one stepped up and given him any. I imagine people have messaged him, but there's nothing solid at all.
Another thing,
fairy tale for grown-ups.
Yeah, another thing is, evolution basically is the theory and it's a belief. Like, they don't want to admit that it's just a belief. They want to say, oh, it's science. But it's really a belief. It's closer to religion than science because it's a belief in this thing that these things have gone from one thing to another or that everything came from whatever they say, maybe a Big Bang or primordial ooze or whatever. It's just a belief. They don't want to admit that it's more closer to religion than science. They want to hold tooth and nail that it is science.
Yeah, I mean, in this godless society, Romans 1, I love Romans 1, 18 through 26. I call it the atheist chapter. It talks about people who willfully reject and they don't believe truth. They'll hold on to a lie just so they can dismiss the truth.
Avoid it.
And, I mean, that's been done throughout ages, history. Atheists among evolutionists have try to refute the truth and just so they can live with it the way they want. They believe, well, if I can just suppress it, but it won't be there, then, wow, I can do whatever I want. Let me share Romans 1:18-26 real quick. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image and form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I didn't go all the way to 26, it's 25 actually. 18 through 25. Romans 1, 18 through 25 is that where that's at. I call it the atheist section of the Bible. Atheists can read that, and they either get real proud or they see the truth of what's going on. So basically, I think people are going to do it anyway. They're going to exchange the truth of God for a lie because they want to do their own thing. They want to go their own way. And I believe that the world's going to get worse than that. All these things that, let's make the world a better place, let's do it. Well, the world's going to get worse. The Bible says it's going to get worse. And if anybody is a Christian out there that's listening, it says, well, why not make the world a better place? Because it's not going to get better. We can take care of the planet and all that, but that's not getting anyone saved. The only thing that's saved is the gospel.
All this flat out. The world a nicer place to go to hell from. But if you're,
yeah, I've heard that before too. Yeah, we make the world a nicer place to go to hell from. Can't we all just get along, so to speak? When you have differing worldviews, like the Muslim worldview and the Buddhist worldview and Islam, you have those worldviews out there, and they're direct in direct adversary. They're a direct opposite of what the Christian worldview is. Then are we going to side with them and side with the world? I mean, that takes, right now I'm thinking of 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about do not be friends with this world or love this world. Because I mean, that's dangerous stuff. Go ahead, give me your thoughts on that. I'll find 1 John 2 here when it talks about do not love the world.
I think there might be a part where it basically says come out of it. Like, don't be a part of it. Too.
Yeah,
like,
we're separate. Yeah, we are separate. 1 John 2. 15. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So it's clear command by God. All this stuff going on in the world, let's not get caught up in it, Christian. Let's not get caught up in all the stuff that's going on. Because it's easy to. That's the easiest thing to do, is to get caught up with the stuff in this world.
Well, point back to, like, say, oh, Genesis, like, God said to take care of, and it's fine, I guess, to take care of somewhat, like, yeah, I mean, we should love it, but, like, it shouldn't be your main focus. The main focus that God gave us in the New Testament, he said, go and make disciples of all nations, and that's our main goal. Everything else is secondary.
Yeah, amen. You know, and I asked the creation scientist when I talked to him before our interview, your interview with him a few weeks ago. You know, can a Christian that knows? I think I'd also. I might ask him this on the radio also, but. Can an actual born-again Christian believe in evolution in billions of years? And I believe his response was not knowingly. If someone knows the truth and they either have a choice to reject it or receive it, and if they have knowledge and see the evidence of it not being millions of years old and evolution not being true and they still believe it, then you have to question that. That's something that that we need to watch. I think knowledge is key there. What do you think about that?
Yeah, in the New Testament, it even clearly, I can't remember the part, but it's Jesus talks about the Sabbath, and then he he basically makes it sound like the creation view is like it's 1 week. It's not like, no, there's no time between the, like, say, like, some people will say, oh, between one day and another is, like, millions of years. And he basically brings it back and makes it sound like what it should be is that it was literally, like, 6 days and 7 days. God rested, like, Sabbath. And so God brings it back, and he even brings it back about Adam and Eve, that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman. And he talks about that in the New Testament, too.
I've got Answers. I get Answers magazine. From the Answers in Genesis, and I've got to get these Answers updates. And got one from Ken Ham here. He does a State of the Union, 09. Ken Ham's startling State of the Union address reveals why the church in America is dying. And go to the page, and basically it talks about they attempted to tune in for the first. There was a live video webcast from Creation Museum that they're having, and you can get the DVD of everything at AID.org. It's just Google Answers in Genesis, and you'll be able to find it. And if I can get some of that, I might have some of that State of the Union with Ken Ham. It's a
Has your guest come on yet?
No, actually hasn't. You hold him. We'll probably save that for next week. I'll have another song by him. Preston Cagley. In the meantime, you all, anyone listening and listen to the podcast this week or anything, can look up Preston Cagley on Facebook. Just type in P-R-E-S-T-O-N. P-R-E-S-T-O-N-K-E-G-L-E-Y. And you can also search for him on MySpace. He's got that on MySpace to listen to some of his music. Christian rapper Preston Cagley. We're going to have him next week, God willing, on Truth Be Told Radio. Let's say we're talking about evolution and things like that, and I thought, well, it would be a good idea to jump out and talk about Answers in Genesis and what they've been doing. And I've got the Answers in Genesis update magazine here. They have a Mastodon in there. Also, they're having a conference, the family conference in Sevierville, Tennessee, 2010 family conference in July. It's called Defending the Faith 2010, Apologetics for the Entire Family. I think that's something that'll be very exciting. Sevierville is near Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge and things like that, so make your plans to go that July 19th through 22nd. Apologetics for the Entire Family, the Answers in Genesis. So Answers in Genesis is located in Florence, Kentucky, right across the bridge from Cincinnati, Ohio. It's right down there. I think it's in Petersburg, Kentucky, and near Florence area. And if no one's ever went there, if you get a chance to go there, it's excellent, excellent, excellent to go to the Creation Museum. All kinds of great stuff there for apologetics and things. They just recently had a group of atheists go there, and lots of mockery. They had to kick two of them out for their shirt they were wearing, some kind of anti-God shirt, and they went to the call. They were told they would be on their best behavior, but a lot of them weren't. They mocked a communion service outside the grounds of Answers in Genesis afterwards, and they did a little. They had wine and bread and things like that, and mocked that. So we knew it was going to happen. A lot of Christians did. I think they did too. But for the most part, they kept their cool and got through there. But I think it was an atheist foundation that went there. So. Once again, any atheist that goes to a place like Creation Museum and sees the truth of God and the fact that evolution is false, that's just more things that are going to be brought up on Judgment Day to them if they choose to reject Christ their whole life and they die an atheist. I will tell you, there's no atheist on Judgment Day. There's no atheist at all after this afterlife. It's proven. Afterwards, no atheist has ever come back and said, hey, there's no God. There's no proof of that. So I will tell you that if you're an atheist out there listening, that I pray that you find the truth and that you would repent, turn from your sins and put full trust in Jesus Christ before you die, because on the day of judgment, you'll have nothing to say to God. You'll be on your knees in front of the God who created everything. So I pray that you, I know Melissa or I or God does not want you to go to hell. So please, I pray that you owe it to your own conscience, if there's an atheist or agnostic listening, to look into this stuff. Most of the people that reject it don't look into it. Or they say they look so far into it until it makes them mad. Well, of course it's going to make them mad. You have to submit to the God who created you. Anything you have to submit to, it's going to make you angry because you want to live your own life. But anyway, I did a little diatribe here. Melissa, go ahead. And I know you have something to say. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. It's okay. I just wanted to remind people that if they want to talk about this subject or anything, or if they believe they're not saved, they want to call in. Call in right now while it's live. 1-347. Well, you don't have to put one in, but yeah, if you want. 347 area code 884-9505. And once again, that's 347 area code 884-9505. That's our call-in number to Truth Be Told Radio. So if you want to talk about this or talk about or anything, if you're not saved or you are, whatever, if you want to talk about something, just call in at that number.
Yeah, I'll throw the number out here in just a second. I do want to remind anyone that does call in, we're not here to debate. We're not negotiators. We're only heralds. We're herald the word of God. We're not negotiators. We don't want to debate, because basically I've done enough of that. If you're just looking, a lot of people who are not looking for answers, they're just looking for the next argument. That's all they're looking for. And if you're doing that, don't call in. But if you're truly wanting to talk, we'd be happy to talk to you. Anyone that you don't know if you're saved, maybe you went to church all your life, and if someone come up to you one day and said, are you sure you go to heaven if you died, and you wasn't for sure, but you didn't want to say anything, call in. I can screen your call. You can call in now, and it won't be any big deal. I can mute everything else, and we'll talk. If not, you can catch us on Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio, or you can look me up, G.C. Reynolds, on Facebook, G-C-R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S.com. My email is guyr@ praize.com. So, Melissa, you want to throw your information out there?
Yeah. Well, they can find all this info at truthbetoldradio.com. And also my email address is bond, B-O-N-D, servant, S-E-R-V-A-N-T, the number 4, Jesus, with J-E-S-U-S, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, at gmail.com.
Awesome.
And on Facebook.
Yeah.
And Facebook, if you want to find me, my full name, Melissa, and then you put A for my initial, and Canchola, C-A-N-C-H-O-L-A.
Awesome, yeah. By all means, you're listening to a podcast or something, and you heard Open Air earlier on it. You can easily get a hold of us there. By no means, we don't want anyone to miss out on the gospel and the fact of getting saved, because it is glorious. It is tough. It's Christian life, but more than worth it when we serve a God who is faithful, and He's just and righteous and holy. Also, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. I've got a special to end our segment on the evolution talk. Got a song by Apologetics that talks just on that. It's called Bone Digger. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Truth Be Told Radio.
Who am I supposed to be? I want to give you.
Why is God just to punish Jesus for our sins when doing a similar thing would be so unjust for a human judge to do? Very good question. When Jesus died, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son and glorify yourself. And the Father came back and said, I have glorified it, my name, and I will glorify it again. The way to understand Jesus' substitutionary death under God's wrath is that he is doing it in such a way as to glorify, magnify the infinite worth of the glory of God. God's glory has been trampled by people like us. Every time we prefer something to the glory of God, we demean the glory of God, and we do it every day. Since his glory has been impugned and belittled, he has to exalt his glory by punishing sinners and saying, my glory is infinitely valuable. If you trample my glory, you lose glory. And I restore my glory by your losing glory. Jesus enters in, and he is able to do what no human could do. This is why there's a difference. No human ever could do this in a law, in a court of law. He is so perfect, and he suffers so much, and his motives are so Godward that when he dies on the cross, what is manifest is, look how valuable the glory of God is. If a mom stepped forward in a courtroom and said, let me take my son's place. Let me take my son's place, please. We all know that would be unjust. She goes to the electric chair, and this son goes on to sin more. Well, the two differences are, she's not doing that to magnify the worth of the state, God. She's doing it to magnify the worth of her son, and that's not what's happening at the cross. And number two, she's freeing the son, untransformed, to go into the world and sin some more. And those are the very two things that are different about the death of Jesus. Jesus dies not to magnify the sinner's worth, but to magnify God's worth. And he dies and changes those who escape from hell. He doesn't just release more sin upon the world. He puts the Holy Spirit in our lives and begins to transform us into the image of Christ so that we bring more glory to the Father than if we had been left in our sin.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Go to the internet and type in the search word evangelism or how to be saved. Go to the sites listed and find their gospel message. See if there is a sound biblical gospel presentation. Do they open up the law, warn of judgment day and hell as Jesus did? Do they preach the cross, the resurrection, repentance, and faith? Is Jesus presented as the answer to life's problems or as the savior from sin?
Watch Christian TV and analyze their gospel presentation. Is it lacking content? Then learn from their mistakes. Don't have a condescending attitude, but determine to make sure you always put in what they leave out. And take a moment to pray for them, that they return to the biblical presentation.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
This little light, this little light, gonna let it shine.
The Way of the Master Minute.
This little light, this...
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's...
The flood came and swept them all away. Edward Griffin, Noah's Ark. He wiped out every living thing that was on the surface of the ground, from mankind to livestock, to creatures that crawl, to the birds.
Well, we had technical difficulties. My apologies.
Yeah.
I don't know how long is the flood one from Grace Gym?
Oh, that's pretty long. It's probably at least half an hour. She haven't played out
okay.
Yet.
Well, we'll move on. Of course, okay. I've reset this thing and refreshed it, trying to get it back. So
I wasn't
right now we're
going to...
Yeah, just going back there. I gave you little tidbits of what we might listen to a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's listen to this song by Apologetics. Apologetics.com, APOLOGETIX.com. They are a Christian parody band. They take secular music and they put scripture in it, and they put not just Bible stories. They don't just sing about Bible stories. They put scripture in it that you can actually go to. So in this one, in light of our little evolution talk that we're doing, I also have something I was downloading from Answers in Genesis about the key to reclaiming the culture. It's like a 30-minute thing about that. I know, Melissa, if you wanted to play, you wanted me to play that after this, since we're on a little thing about evolution, I think it would be something to jump in there. What do you think?
I was wondering how long we have left.
1 hour, 40 minutes.
Okay, yeah, you could play that, I guess.
Okay, anyway, and I also have something in the last hour if we want to do. It's by Steve Lawson, Pastor Steve Lawson, Grace Community Church, and it's about two voices of Jesus, and it's about an hour long, so I don't know if you wanted to throw that out there in the last hour or not. Very good teaching by Pastor Steve Lawson. What do you think about that, Melissa?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, let's move on now, apologetics. This is for all you people who enjoy evolution. This is a song about it. And it's parody by, the original song was called Gold Digger by Kanye West, and it's a rap song, but this is called Bone Digger by Apologetics. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
They make a monkey right out of me. Yes, they've been trying endlessly. But over here, bone diggers, they'll never find that jigsaw piece.
Now, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I say evolution don't figure. Now, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I ain't never seen no holes bigger. It sounds like no evidence found. Maybe he was put on under cover of dawn. They said we can tell from rocks, we can tell by the carbon, cause this world has got a flock of descendants of Charles Robert Darwin. But I'm looking for the odds at casinos. The likely come to be from random acids, amino zero. We know it's hocus pocus, and they gotta make all of that an accidental process. Okay, let's pretend a fishy had some kids that stood up on the fins and crawled up the land without evidence. And here we are today. If you trust in this world, you better have faith. You know why? Make too much of nothing. Stuff that I heard it should have been on Mythbusters. Their best friends' examples couldn't cut the mustard. You don't care what none of us say, still trust it. Nah, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I say evolution don't figure. Nah, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I ain't never seen no holes bigger. Nah, it sounds like no evidence found. It sounds like the heads in the ground. It sounds like the chest too proud. It's a fateful year. They've had 150 years to prove the great new theory. I know some funny ways they found support for some of the kids. They made some hominids from parts of gibbons and pigs. Your museums are deceiving when you visit one day. Take a couple bones and pawn it off as a primate. They were supposed to find all sorts of life forms they could study. They went to the rocks and got dinosaurs in the muddy. They're talking down, acting like the Bible is so funny. Could've got dinosaur if they tried your 41A. If it ain't no bunk, holla, we want proof now. There's something that'll make you mad, cause all the links they had were either weak or bad. Great big pigs since the 1860s, and after waiting and searching, they found out it doesn't exist. Nah, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I say evolution don't figure. Nah, I ain't hating on the bone diggers, but I ain't never seen no holes bigger. Nah, it sounds like no evidence found. It sounds like the heads in the ground. It sounds like the chairs too proud. I'm trilobites and stone in a petrified tree. You know evolution ain't paleontology. Transition from the lichen, that's a hole up the sleeve. But the other option's not fun. So he gon' make it to a man out of that prawn skull. This is his religion, baby. Don't be surprised that fishy on all fours on his Jesus Messiah. So let's not fight. I won't abuse Darwin, cause that's not nice. And they gon' keep stalling and trying to prove they're right, though. And when you catch on,
will lead you back to the Bible.
Sounds like no evidence found.
No, that was Apologetics with Bone Digger. We're on a little rant about evolution. We started actually with the Ray Comfort's blog talking about getting Darwin, the Origin of Species, in 100 universities. Again, that was Apologetics. The song was called Bone Digger. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Moving on. Actually, was going to save this, but we'll jump in there right now with another. We're not usually a music station. I do want to tell you this, but there's so much good stuff out there that we like to promote, and for kids and for adults. A lot of people think, well, Apologetics should be just for kids. No, Apologetics. I'm an adult, and I like Apologetics. I know a lot of people that do like Apologetics. Again, we're going to jump to another band, and a lot of kids like them. I also like them, too. They're called Go Fish, and they have a Go Fish Guys. Just Google Go Fish or GoFishGuys.com, I believe. And they have a lot of kids' songs, and they have a lot of people say kids, but they have a song called The Mom Song I like, and there's a few other ones I like. That's about the cross and things like that during Christmas time. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Oh, just say, I wasn't sure if you could
hear me right now. Yeah,
yes, I can hear you. Yeah, I just say, their tagline is music that won't drive parents bonkers, I think. Or
yeah.
Go Fish.
yeah, Go Fish. I think it's, I'm pretty sure it's GoFishGuys.com. And this song is usually, like I said, we're your song station. We get all kinds of requests. No, I'm just joking. We don't. Just throw out there what we find interesting, and I hope you all like this. Maybe you're driving down the road. Maybe you just don't wreck when you listen to this. This is an old song that you might have sang in Sunday school if you went to Sunday school. Kind of remade by Go Fish, but once again, they're an a cappella band, which they don't use a lot of instruments. But they, when they do, they put their voices behind it, and they're very good singers. Three guys called Go Fish. This is Truth Be Told Radio. This is Little Light.
This little light, gonna let it shine, let it shine, gonna let it shine, shine. This little light of mine, I'm
come on,
gonna
sing
let
it,
it shine.
Know it, sing it.
Let it
You know you were lip-syncing that because you knew it and you sang it in Sunday school. You know how there you were lip-syncing that, just like I was. Everyone knows This Little Light. They have a lot of those songs that you sung there, but they kind of, you know, like Melissa had said, the tagline, songs that won't drive your parents. I call it bonkers, crazy, you know,
yeah.
So. I really like the mom song's pretty cool. I play that on Mother's Day.
Well, it's funny because like you sing when you're younger, but then like when you get to adult, you actually understand it more. And if you're, especially if you're a Christian, like you understand what they're talking about more, like shining light for Jesus. And well, actually, maybe Jesus actually is the light, but. And things like Father Abraham, like the way it goes, says, had many sons and many sons of Father Abraham. It's talked about, I think, spiritually that we're sons of Abraham and we're daughters too. And that, like the song about the bones, them bones, the dry bones, talking about, I think it's Ezekiel, like when the bones were forming and the, it's like showing how the Israel was coming back to life. In the future, and it's funny because like you've seen all these songs, and then you like when you're young, you just like it's fun, but then like you understand when you come adult, but they like really talking about.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they, you know, you're right. That's they're taught, and it's all about what how they're taught to you, which actually goes into good into the next segment of we're going to end this last hour with is. Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis talking about how the Genesis, how can we can reclaim the culture for God is by using Genesis. And he talks about Genesis 1 to 11 and us getting attacked and how we can ever understand spiritual things. We don't realize where we're at in the culture and how the culture. So without further ado, if you have anything else to say, this is about a 39-minute by Ken Ham. Is there anything you'd like to say or do before that, Melissa, before
yeah,
we get into this? Is how we're going to basically end the evolution segment.
Yeah. I just got to say that it's like you said, it's like maybe if somebody would have explained the songs, it would have been nice to, like, would understand it more. And, like, the like they do with Acts of Genesis, they say, like I said, just telling them about the story of the flood, show them like how like it could have been possible, and like even today they have this big giant replica of the Noah's Ark. I think it's like in England or something. Like maybe they should show them something like that, show them how it's possible, and not just show like the fun little pictures with the animals sticking out of the boat. Like show how it was possible that all those creatures could. Be in there and that people be taken care of by God and how the boat could float and all stuff. It's important to tell kids how this stuff is possible because later if they go to science or whatever it is, they're just going to think, oh, that was just some story. Like, that's not even possible or whatever. So it's probably good to along with these songs and stories, tell them how it was possible and show that how God did it, maybe, which maybe even science, I don't know. I think that's a good idea.
I agree. I mean, seem to be teaching it rightly. And I believe, I had somebody ask that creation scientist when he was teaching at that church locally here, what is the biggest problem? What's the problem with the church? Where is the church failing in this? And it's starting with Sunday school. That's where it's failing. We're just pacifying and telling stories like David and Goliath and Noah's Ark and things as Aesop's fables. So sure, we can throw in there, yeah, it was true, yeah, it was true. Isn't that cool? It was true. But unless we're showing the actual things like the biology of it and things like that, then they're just going to treat it as that. And this, some of these curriculums out there are pretty dangerous because a lot of them end with, oh, just ask Jesus into your heart or accepting, things like that, which are not biblical terms. Yeah, I mean, they're still being used. So, I mean, it's just something that that's being used. It's going to continue to be used, I think, in the culture. So let's hear from Ken Ham. And this is called Reclaiming the Culture. You can actually get them on iTunes. Just type in Andrews and Genesis through there, and you can get the podcast. So, once again, this is Truth Be Told Radio. We're on Sunday from 2 to 5 Pacific Standard Time and from 5 to 8 Eastern Standard Time. Melissa is on the West Coast, so she has the Pacific Standard Time, and I'm on the East Coast getting later in the evening. So, once again, Truth Be Told Radio, that's what times we're on. And podcast us on iTunes if you've missed any of the show or all of it. Go to iTunes and type in your podcast, type in search Truth Be Told Radio, and you'll get us on there. So without further ado, let's close this segment out of Evolution. We'll start the next one in the next hour. This is called Reclaiming the Culture on Truth Be Told Radio. Takes about 20 seconds to start, so I'll stop further ado in there. So my apologies for that. Recording starts seconds there. The switchboard is going crazy.
Okay.
Melissa, have you had it ever do that to you? It just goes crazy.
Yeah, I mess it up sometimes.
Where stuff will just get misplaced, and you had it on there one time, and it's not on there, you know, another time, and you're...
yeah, because it only shows so many at one time. Like, I think it shows, like, 10 things, maybe.
Yeah, I've got more than that on here, right? That's,
Well, what you can do is, like, stuff that you already played, you could, like, delete them that you know you already played.
It might come up. I see. Okay. Here we're on live radio, and I'm getting instruction from my, if we can get some of this stuff off here. So, yeah.
Oh, well, still, it educates them how we run this.
Yeah, if you wanted to have, I mean, you know, that... I'm a simpleton, so I'm running a Blog Talk radio show. It's not that hard. There's stuff there.
Yeah, usually with radio, you have, like, an actual board, like they call it a switchboard, where you have these things called faders. You turn up the music, turn it down, or you can play, like, certain things, like a CD or anything like that, anything you want to play. But on Blog Talk radio, they have a digital switchboard. It's a page that comes up, and it shows the files that you want to play. You can play them, and you could, and just like I said about faders, you could turn up, turn down. Well, you could choose a level that you want to play at, like, say, 25% or even up to maybe 200% to make it really loud if it's, like, a low thing. But once it plays, you can't change the sound. That's the only thing. Maybe they'll change that later, but unfortunately, can't change the sound while it's playing. Something sports, so you can do that. And so that's what they do with Blog Talk Radio. And the way we host the show is we actually call in to the the program, the way they have it situated. And if you're the host, you put like code in. It's called a host skin. And if you're like me, I just called in as a guest. You could call in, like for us, it's 347 844. Was it 884-9505? Yeah, I think it's 884-9505-347. And then, like, you call in, and if you want to be a guest, you push, it says to push number one currently. You push number one so it can be in the host queue, and that allows us to see your number. If you just want to listen, you guys call in, too. You just call in, but you don't push the number one. You just, like, just listen to us, and you'll be able to hear the show while it's live. So that's basically what they do on Block Talk Radio. Because I had some experience in regular radio because I used to go to Three Oaks College. It's in Three Oaks, California. Well, actually, technically it's in Norwalk, but it's on the border. And you could take a show there, a program there called RTC-155, and they let you do the radio. And they taught us how to do, like, the real radio, like, well, it's over the internet too, and also there's AM 1700, but they teach you the basics there. So I just gave you a little lesson in radio, like the way they really do it, and then also the way we do it here as a digital switchboard. And so
Talk Radio right now, 101.
Yeah, like, so what happens is on Talk Radio also they let you only show so many files at once to play. I think it's 10, about 10, maybe a little bit more. And then you have to delete some to show the new ones that you want to play sometimes. So that's what happened with...
I got about 20 on here right now. I got it backed up.
It does it alphabetical order, too. So, like, if there's something that you want to put towards the top, maybe you should name it with something with the A or something like that.
I see. Oh, we've got it back up. Let me see if I can play it right now.
Okay. Well, you had a little lesson in radio right there. So
yeah,
that was good.
I don't know if it'll play. It may.
Well, good evening. It's great to be here. I hope you can tell that I am Australian. I know our church recently, a pastor announced me as someone who looked like Abraham Lincoln and sounded like Crocodile Dundee, so... It's good to look like an honest president anyway. That's really great. Well, you know, as the pastor said, actually this service has been a real heavy year, and been speaking in churches all across the nation, around the world, and this is the last church service for the year, but we start up again in January and speak in churches all across this nation. In fact, you know what, despite what we see happening in America with the rampant secular humanism, I'm so thrilled that there's so many who still have a hunger for the Word of God. And that's really what the Ministry of Answers in Genesis is all about, and I'll be bringing these sorts of messages across this nation. I trust you'll be praying for the Ministry of Answers in Genesis as we do this year after year after year. But I want to start off by just saying something that in a way is hard to say, because, you know, America has been the greatest Christian nation on earth, and America certainly as a nation has the largest number of churches, Bible colleges, seminary, Christian colleges in the world, largest number of Christian bookshops, resources, Christian radio, television in the world. But isn't it true that when you look at the structure in America, it's becoming less Christian every day? There's something really wrong with this culture. What has happened? I suggest to you that the church is no longer touching the culture like it used to, because in many instances the culture has infiltrated the church. Now, let me go to a verse of scripture that I want to be the text for this evening, and it's this one, John chapter 3 and verse 12. Jesus said this, "If I tell you about earthly things and you don't believe them, how will you believe when I tell you about heavenly things? If you don't believe the earthly things, how can you believe the heavenly things, the spiritual things?" And I want to put it to you this way. If we can't believe the history in the Bible, if we can't believe the earthly things in the Word of God, how can you believe the heavenly things, the Christian morality, the message of salvation that's based in that history? See, let me ask you a question. The Bible, does it touch on geology, biology, anthropology, astronomy, physics, chemistry? Does the Bible touch on those things? You know, I was at a university once and a man jumped up and he said, but the Bible's not a science textbook. I said, you're right, and I'm glad about that because science textbooks change every year. I'm glad the Bible's not a science textbook. But where the Bible touches on science, can we trust it? Absolutely, because if you can't trust those earthly things, how can you trust the heavenly things that are based in that history? See, for instance, does the Bible talk about geology? Well, it says there was a global flood. Hey, that'd be a geological event, wouldn't it? If there really was such an event, you'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. By the way, do you know what you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Of course, you know, the secular scientists today say, but there's no evidence for a global flood. Where's the evidence for a global flood? I mean, all you find are billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. We don't see any evidence for a global flood. Hey, you know something? Do you realize even the church people, church young people, 80-90%, in fact, of young people from church homes still go to public schools in America. Did you know that public education in America today, by and large, generally speaking, and the media and so on, teach generations of people that there never was a global flood? By the way, if they're right, then the Bible's geology is wrong. Do you know the Bible touches on biology? It says God made distinct kinds of animals and plants each to reproduce after their own kind. That's biology. In other words, dogs will only breed dogs. It's interesting, that's what you find. But do you know what the world teaches? Do you know what the public education system teaches by and large? It teaches generations of students that no, one kind of animal changed into another over millions of years. Therefore, the Bible's biology must be wrong. Does the Bible touch on anthropology? Yes, it does. It says all people are descendants of one man and one woman, Adam and Eve. By the way, that means there's only one race of people. Did you know that? Aren't there different races? There's only one race. That means, by the way, we're all related. I'm just here for a family get-together. Isn't that great? See all my relatives? You know, when I was speaking on this once, in fact, I give talks on the issue of the origin of so-called races, and we talk about skin color. Do you know everyone has the same skin color? There are no white people, no black people. Because we all have a pigment called melanin, no matter how much or how little you have. And because of the Tower of Babel, when God gave different languages, it split up the people groups. That's why you find distinguishing characteristics, because that gene pool split up. Very easy to understand biologically, by the way. But I remember after talking on this once, a man said, oh, when I filled out my census form and it said, what race are you? I wrote down Adams. I thought, hey, that's a great witnessing tool for the federal government, isn't it? You ever heard of Adams' race? But you see, you know what the world teaches? The world teaches, no, we didn't come from one man and one woman. See, the Bible says God took dust, made a man, took his side, made a woman. No, the world says, no, the woman came from an ape woman, the man from an ape man. No, you see, the Bible's anthropology must be wrong. The Bible touches on astronomy. It says God made the sun on day four. He made the earth covered with water on day one. But you see, the world teaches the Big Bang. And if there was a Big Bang, the world teaches that the sun came first and then the earth came as a hot molten blob. Hey, if the Big Bang theory is taught by public education, media and so on is correct, then the Bible's astronomy is wrong. And friends, here's what I want us to understand. If we cannot accept the Bible's geology, the Bible's biology, the Bible's anthropology, the Bible's astronomy, the Bible's history, then how can we accept the message of Jesus Christ, which is based in that history? You see, if you can't trust the earthly things, how can you trust the heavenly things? One of the problems I see in America and a lot of churches today is the Bible is looked on as a book of stories, it's looked on as a book of religion, a book about salvation. But I've got news for you, the Bible is much more than that. It is a book of history, isn't it? I mean, if the events of Jesus Christ's birth, death, resurrection didn't happen in history, how can we be saved? If we don't all go back to one man in history of whom are all descendants, then who are we? Where did we come from? You know why those genealogies are there in the Bible? So-and-so beget so-and-so beget so-and-so to connect that history from the beginning right down to Jesus Christ and, of course, then right to us here today. If that history is not true, if there wasn't the first Adam, then what is the message of the last Adam, Jesus Christ? Then how do we know that we're sinners? What does it mean that we're sinners? See, the history is important. It's vital. So I had a girl recently who said to me, oh, my sister is here at this Christian college with me and she doesn't believe in the literal Adam in Genesis. What can I say to her? I said, well, she doesn't believe in the literal Adam. And she says she's a born-again Christian. She said, yes. I said, well, actually, she's got a problem. I said, what's that? I said, only descendants of Adam can be saved. So if she's not a descendant of Adam, how can she be a Christian? And she said, oh, that's a good point, isn't it? Do you realize only descendants of Adam can be saved? That's why we know, by the way, there's only one race of people. Why do we take the gospel message to every tribe and nation? You know why? We're all descendants of one man, Adam. That's why we're all sinners in need of salvation. Then I said to her, you better ask her if she's an alien or something, because if she didn't come from Adam's race, where did she come from? Now that history is important. And you know, the Bible gives us this outline of history. I want you to understand something. The Bible is not a science textbook. It doesn't give us all the details of geology, biology, astronomy, and so on. But you know what the Bible does? It gives us the big picture of history. The big picture of geology, the big picture of biology, the big picture of astronomy, so we have the right understanding of the past to connect the past to the present. See, we all live in the present, don't we? Well, don't we? Put your hands up if you exist in the present. Okay, that's pretty good, pretty good. Not all my students existed in the present when I was a teacher. It was always a problem, but we all exist in the present. Hey, when do fossils exist, present or past? You tell me. Past? Wrong. They exist in the present. If they didn't, we wouldn't have them. When you dig up dinosaur bones, do you dig them up with the little labels on saying, hi, I'm 65 million years old? Now, do you realize something? All the evidence the scientist has exists in the present. Here we are living in the present. We're saying, what happened in the present to bring fossils here? What happened in the present to cause there to be dinosaurs on the earth? What happened in the past to cause there to be dinosaurs on the earth? What happened in the past to cause the Grand Canyon? What happened in the past to put people here? What happened in the past to cause there to be death and suffering here? You know the only way you'd know? If someone was there in the past who saw everything happen, who revealed to us what happened so we can connect the past to the present. I've got news for you. I have a revelation from one who has always been there who said, here's what happened in the past. And therefore we can connect the past to the present. You see, the Bible gives us that history. It teaches us that God created everything in 6 days, and during that 6 days there's anthropology, biology, geology, physics, chemistry. He took dust, made the first man, took his side, made the first woman. In the beginning, God, in infinite intelligence, provides the information systems, the code systems for life. He created distinct kinds of animals and plants. And by the way, he did it in 6 days. Bam, now there's a contentious issue. You know, I find the majority of Christian leaders don't believe God made everything in 6 days. You know, it's interesting. I have so many people tell me that the word day in Genesis 1 doesn't mean an ordinary day. And yet anywhere else the word day is used elsewhere in the Bible, they don't argue about it. They only argue about what it means in Genesis 1. Have you noticed that? Why is that? You know why it is? Because those genealogies that are all connected from Adam to the present, you couldn't put millions of years in those genealogies. The only place you could try to put millions of years in the Bible is before Adam. That's why people reinterpret the day as a creation. You know, the word day can mean an ordinary day. Actually, it mostly means an ordinary day. I'm sure that's a surprise to you, but The word day can also mean time, it can also mean year, mainly means day. You know how we know when it means day? Whenever it has evening, morning, number, night attached to it. You know how it's written in Genesis chapter 1? Evening, morning, number, night. Of course it means an ordinary day. That's why we have a 6 million year week. Because God made everything in 6 days and rested for one, right? When he first made everything, he said it was very good. There wasn't any death in the world. It was a perfect world. Hey, that means there can't be any dead dinosaurs before sin, because there was no death till after sin. And then Adam sinned. Everything changed. Death entered the world. Hey, you know why the terrorists blew up those buildings on September 11th? Because of that event. And then we know there was a flood, geology going on outside the boat, biology on the boat, anthropology, 8 people saved on that boat. Distinct kinds of animals saved on that boat. After the event of Noah's flood, the event of the Tower of Babel, God gives different languages, anthropology. Hey, by the way, that's why most cultures of the world today have flood legends that sound like Genesis. You know why they have those? Because they're all descendants of Noah back to Adam. They've handed them down, changed them, but the real record's in the Bible. Then Jesus Christ steps into that history, dies on the cross, and raised from the dead, and one day there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth to come. When there'll be no more death, because death is an enemy, right now. And you know what, friends? Jesus Christ steps into that history that encompasses geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology. If you can't trust the history, how can you trust the message of Jesus Christ? If you can't trust the earthly things, how can we trust the heavenly things? That's why my emphasis to children when I speak to them is the Bible is a history book. It's a history book of the universe. You can trust it from Genesis to Revelation. And as a history book, all of our thinking in every area should be built on that book. And it means that really the Bible's history to us should be a pair of glasses. When I put on my glasses so I can see the pages of the book, really each one of us should be wearing biblical glasses 24 hours a day. We have a revelation from God who gives us a big picture of every aspect of reality so we can go out and understand the world and correctly interpret the evidence. And if the Bible's history is correct, real science should confirm that, and you know what? It does. We can give many, many examples of that. We could be here all weekend for the seminar giving examples about that. But friends, do you know where I believe we've lost this? If I can be so bold as an Australian, you ever seen that guy on TV? What's his name? Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter? That guy's nuts, isn't he? But anyway, you know, Australians tend to be sort of blunt like that, actually. But if I can be so blunt and say this, I believe that we have a lot of problems in our churches across this nation. And I believe we can see it manifested in this way. You see, take Sunday school literature. I think a lot of our Sunday school literature really does miss the mark, and I'll tell you why. You know what we tend to do? We tend to teach Bible stories. You know what I mean by Bible stories? Jonah and the great fish, the feeding of the 5,000, Paul's missionary journey, Jesus on the cross, Noah and the ark, Adam and Eve, and you say, but don't you believe those? Yes. Well, what's wrong with that? You know, it's the way we teach it in today's world. You see, I want you to tell me the problem, okay? If I went to the average Sunday school teacher and said, Mrs. Brown, you teach Sunday school, tell me in Sunday school, do you teach geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry? What do you think Mrs. Brown will say? No. Well, what do you teach in Sunday school, Mrs. Brown? We teach about the Bible, we teach about Jesus. Oh, yes, I understand that. Well, tell me, Mrs. Brown, and you tell me the answer. Mrs. Brown, where do kids go to learn about geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry? You tell me. School. Oh, I get it, Mrs. Brown. Did you know the majority of kids from church homes still go to public schools? Oh, by the way, you know a statistic from George Barna Research? 70% of students from church homes who go to public schools after their senior year walk away from the church. There's something dreadful happening in America. You know what's happening? You think about it. This great nation, years ago, prayer in the schools, Bible reading in the schools, creation in the schools. But you know what's progressively happened generation after generation after generation? Prayer's thrown out, Bible reading's thrown out, creation is thrown out, Ten Commandments thrown out, nativity scenes thrown out, and of public places. Progressively, the education system in America has thrown Christianity out of the school system. You know, I was interviewed in Fox News once, and they said, but if you want creation back in schools, that's going to bring religion out. We've got religion out of schools. I said, you've got to understand something. There's no such thing as neutrality. Doesn't the Bible say you're either for Christ or what? Against. You either walk in light or you walk in what? Darkness. There's no such thing as neutrality. And I said to the Fox News interviewer, I said, you know something? It's about time the American public woke up to the fact that when the education system threw prayer, Bible readings, creation out of the school system, they didn't throw religion out, they threw Christianity out. Now they're teaching students, generations of them, you can explain everything, every aspect of life, biology, geology, everything without God. That's a religion of secular humanism, naturalism. We are now teaching a different religion. We didn't throw religion out, we changed the religion. That's what's happened in America. And you know, here's the thing that we've got to come to grips with. The kids today that go into that system and watch television and the media and so on, you know what they're really being told every day? The Bible's biology is wrong, the Bible's geology is wrong, the Bible's astronomy is wrong, the Bible's history is wrong, you can't trust the Bible. But you know what many people do? They say, well, don't worry about that, trust in Jesus anyway. Don't get me wrong, I want people to trust in Jesus. But you see, why will students trust a message that comes from a book that in their mind science has said you can't trust? Did any of you see that news item about that boy in the Boy Scouts who said he was an atheist and he was thrown out of the Boy Scouts? He was interviewed by the media and you know what he said? I became an atheist when I learned at school that science proved the Bible wasn't correct. See, friends, that's what's happening. And you know, see, put it to you this way. I've traveled for 30 years in this ministry. And wherever I go in the world, you know I'm asked the same basic questions over and over again. You think about it. You see, people challenge me. You believe that book? You're a Christian? You believe the Bible? And then they ask these questions. Doesn't matter what country I'm in, same basic questions. Or on Christian radio, secular radio. You know the questions they ask? So where did God come from? Who wrote the Bible? Who was Cain's wife anyway? What about all these ape men? Who did Cain marry? And how did Noah get all the animals on the ark? And who was Cain's wife anyway? And where did all the water for the flood come from? And who did Cain marry? And what about carbon dating? And who on earth was Cain's wife? And does anyone know the most asked question I've been asked? Hey, do you know what was asked of William Jennings Bryan at the Scopes trial by the ACLU lawyer Clarence Darrow? Do you know he managed to get the man representing Christianity to the world to stand before the world's media in that court trial to be cross-examined about the Christian faith and was asked questions like, so who was Cain's wife? And you didn't have an answer. What about the days of creation? You don't have to really believe them. What about the millions of years? Yes, you can believe in millions of years. It was a turning point in Christendom. For the world saw that Christians couldn't answer the questions, defend their faith, and really didn't believe the Bible they purported to believe. It's affected the world to this day. And you know, people ask that question over and over again. Cain's wife. You know what they're really saying? You believe the Bible's history? We go back to Adam and Eve. Where did Cain get his wife? You know, I find many Christians can't answer that question. You can't answer that question. Bible says be ready to give answers for what we believe. And you see, what's happened is so many Christians... Hey, how many of you, let me ask you tonight, how many of you, when you've tried to witness to somebody, tell them about the Bible, Christianity, come to church, tell them about Jesus, have found people bring up science or evolution or millions of years or something like that as a stumbling block, as an excuse not to believe that? Put your hands up if you found that. But you know the sad thing I found? Across this nation, there are so many that don't know the answers. And they say, well, don't worry about that. Trust in Jesus anyway. But do you realize what those people are saying? Why should I trust in your Jesus? That message comes from a book. If you can't trust the book, it comes from trust the history. Why should we trust the message that you're bringing me? If the Bible doesn't have authority, why should the message of salvation be trusted? You know, that's why we need those answers. Hey, you know what? There are simple answers. That's one of the reasons we have the literature that we do, the website that we do, to equip you to be able to defend your faith. And just real quickly, and we could spend hours just on these answers. For instance, where's all the water from the flood? Hey, if you leveled out the mountains and the ocean basins, there's enough water to cover to a depth of 2 miles. There's plenty of water. You know why you find marine fossils on the top of Mount Everest? Because the mountains were raised up at the end of the flood. Psalm 104, the mountains raised up, the ocean basins sank. You see evidence of uplift all over the world. There's plenty of water. How did Noah get all the animals on the ark? He must have needed millions of them. No, he didn't. You take dogs. In fact, in the latest journal, Science, there's some big articles about dogs. And you know what the evolutionists are all saying? All dogs are the same kind and probably all came from something like a wolf. Guess what? We've been saying that all along. God made distinct kinds of animals and plants to reproduce after their own kind. You can have dingoes, wolves, coyotes, Great Dane, little chihuahua, even all the way down to degenerate mutant poodles. But you know what? They were dogs, are dogs, will be dogs. That's not evolution. You know what that is? That's dogs. See, natural selection. After the flood, two dogs get off the ark, a population builds up, the population splits up. As they move to different places, different combinations of genes move in different directions, different environments, different combinations survive better than others, and you end up with different varieties of dogs. What's the problem? That's used in the education system today to tell students the Bible's not true. When you properly understand it, it fits exactly with what the Bible says. Isn't it exciting to be a Christian? And of course, you all want to know where Cain got his wife, don't you? Who wants to know where Cain got his wife? Who would like to know? Okay, for $10.99, there's a book out there you can get that has... Hey, real quickly, Genesis 5:4 says Adam had sons and what? Oh, sons and daughters. Originally brothers married sisters. Oh, wait a minute, you're not allowed to marry your relation? Hey, if you don't marry your relation, you don't marry a human, then you're really in trouble. Of course you'd get married to your relation when you get married. But you know what? You don't marry a close relation today. It's not good to do that. When was the first time God said no longer can close relations marry? It wasn't until the time of Moses in Leviticus. Abraham was married to his half-sister. See, because of sin and the curse, copying mistakes have added up in our genes, generation after generation. Today, we have so many of them. If you're closely related and you were to marry, it's more likely you get mistakes getting together and causing deformities in the offspring. It's why it's better to marry someone further away in relationship from you, so you get a good gene to mask a bad gene. But the further back you go in history, the less of a problem that was back then, provided it's one man for one woman for life, which is what marriage is all about anyway. You see, what a difference when you got those answers. I remember being over in University of Wales at Cardiff, and after I spoke to a packed auditorium, mainly non-Christians, by the way, they crowded it down afterwards, and one of the students stood there and he said to me, "Man, that was radical." I said, "What was radical?" He said, "Christians having answers." Hey, you know what? That was a sad indictment on the church, wasn't it? Because many times he's asked those questions, he said, and they say, "Well, don't worry about that, trust in Jesus." You know, it's interesting, people come to me and say, "Are you advocating then that we teach geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry in Sunday school, youth group, Bible study?" You know what my answer is? Absolutely. See, the church gave it up to the world. And we separated the Bible from the real world. We need to reconnect the Bible to the real world. And you might say, "But I don't have a PhD in chemistry or biology." No, 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 you misunderstand. The Bible doesn't give all the details as a science textbook. It gives us the philosophy to have the right way of thinking in geology. One example, Noah's Ark. Hey, somebody come and said, "Look, my Sunday school literature, it's creationist. It teaches about Noah's Ark and Noah on the Ark and so on, and the wicked people drowned and the flood covered the earth." I said, "You know what the problem is? The problem is the kids today are going to be told, but there's not enough water to cover the earth. Noah couldn't fit all the animals on the Ark. and the layers with the fossils were laid down over millions of years and has nothing to do with the flood, and you need to be answering those questions to give them the big picture in geology, biology, and so on, answering the questions of the world where the world is attacking the Bible today, equipping them, so then when people ask those questions, got an answer? Got another answer? Got another answer? You know what that causes people to do? You mean the Bible's true? Because I can defend my faith. Wow, what a difference that makes. You know, sadly, what I see today happening is this. We have generations looking at the Bible and they're saying, you know, can the Bible really be trusted in the scientific age? I mean, to them the world has bombed out the Bible, 8 men, millions of years and so on, and they're looking at this bombed out Bible and saying, so what's the church going to do about that? You know what many people in the church are doing? They're saying, well, don't worry about that, just trust in Jesus anyway. And friends, you know something? That's why we end up with signs like this outside of churches. It was in one of the articles recently that I saw. A church in California. Oh, we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. You know, I see the world as like a Concorde jet. And it's out there saying, we've got all the evidence the Bible's not true. Here, look at all the evidence the Bible's not true. Science says the Bible's not true. Millions of years, 8 men, and so on. And sadly, many people in the church in a little single-engine plane way behind saying, but trust in Jesus anyway, it doesn't matter. You know what? I want to get out there and say, trust in Jesus because this is true. Wow, what a difference when you do that. See, let me give you just one other example here. Boy, we're sure running out of time. I wish a day was like 1,000 years. But anyway, you know, we need to look through the Bible to understand the world. Let me deal with one issue that's a really important issue. You see, if you take Genesis the way Jesus did, you know how Jesus took Genesis? He actually quoted from Genesis in Matthew 19 when he was asked about divorce and concerned marriage. Haven't ye read, he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, twain will be one flesh. Hey, you know what Jesus was saying? You want to understand the doctrine of marriage? Do you realize something? The doctrine of marriage is dependent upon the biology in Genesis being true. It's dependent upon the history being true. You become one because you're one flesh, because the woman came from the man. No, she didn't come from an ape woman. She came from the man. That's the whole basis of oneness in marriage, isn't it? And we know it's to be a man and a woman and not a man and a man. Why? Now look, this is very difficult and I need to somehow say it so it's easy to understand, because it seems a lot of people don't get this today. So let me say it slowly for you. It's to be a man and a woman and not a man and a man, because God made a man and a woman. Did you get it? By the way, I'll guarantee that those churches that condone homosexual behavior, those churches that condone homosexual behavior, ordain homosexual pastors, they don't believe the biology is true in Genesis. They don't believe the history is true in Genesis. Because as soon as the history is true, it's a man and a woman. Do you realize something, though? It's not just marriage. You try to name one biblical doctrine of theology that ultimately, directly or indirectly, is not founded in Genesis 1 to 11. Why is there sin in the world? Genesis 1 to 11. Why is there death? Genesis 1 to 11. 7-day week? Genesis 1 to 11. Why does man have dominion? Genesis 1 to 11. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Genesis 1 to 11. Why is he called the last Adam? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do you wear clothes? Genesis 1 to 11. Why do we need a new heavens and a new earth? Genesis 1 to 11. Do you think Genesis 1 to 11 is important? Genesis 1 to 11 is the foundation to the rest of the Bible. At the key to inerrancy in regard to Scripture is Genesis 1 to 11. You accept Genesis 1 to 11, you don't have a problem with the rest. And that's the key to why we lost inerrancy. Because once we gave up the history in Genesis 1 to 11, you give up the foundation for the rest, then the rest falls. And friends, that's where it happened. Now, if you take Genesis the way Jesus did, he told Adam and Eve to eat fruit, he told the animals to eat plants, which means originally we're all vegetarian. Got you worried? Well, he did say we could eat meat, but that was after the flood. Do you know why this is important? Because death, bloodshed, disease, and suffering is a consequence of sin. See, the people who believe in millions of years, the majority I find, the majority of Christian college professors, the majority of seminary professors today, the majority of Christian leaders, in fact, believe in millions of years. You believe in millions of years, you've got a problem. The idea of millions of years came from the belief that the layers with the fossils were laid down over millions of years. In the fossil record, there are dinosaur bones with cancer. There's all sorts of diseases. There are thorns in the fossil record, supposedly millions of years old. But you know what? You're going to say that at the end of the 6th day of creation, God said everything was very good and the world was full of cancer and thorns? The Bible says thorns come after the curse. Disease is a consequence of sin. You see, when Adam in the garden was told, you can eat of all the trees, there's one tree you're not to eat of, or you will die, When Adam took the fruit, he forfeited his right to live, and we did in Adam because we're descendants of Adam, and what he did, we did because we're in Adam. He represented us. And when Adam rebelled, he really said, we want life without God. We wouldn't exist if God gave us what we wanted, life without God. He has given us a taste of it, though. He's given us a taste of what we wanted, life without God. He's withdrawn that sustaining power and things run amok. It's a pretty ugly world, isn't it? But you know, even though we told God we didn't want him, you know what God said? But I want you. I love you so much. He killed animals because the Bible says he made garments of skin for Adam and Eve. Because Hebrews 9 says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The life of the flesh, the life of the creature is in the blood. My favorite picture in one of our children's books is this one with Adam and Eve clothed in lamb's wool clothing. There's a slain lamb. The Bible doesn't say it was a lamb, but I pictured it as a lamb because here we have the first blood sacrifice as a covering for their sin, a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The gospel. You see, death is a consequence of sin. If you've got death millions of years before sin, you've just destroyed the whole basis of the gospel. That's why Paul says the whole of creation groans and travails in pain. And boy, didn't we feel it groan on September 11th. You know, a lot of people say, why would a God of love allow this? But you know what? It's only if you believe in a literal Genesis you got the answer. If you believe in millions of years, you don't. Because if you believe in millions of years, God said death, violence, struggle is very good. But if you believe in a literal Genesis, you say, what happened on the September 11th was my fault because we sinned in Adam. And it's a reminder that each one of us is facing death. And we need to make sure that we're spiritually healed so that we can be totally healed when we die. What a difference when you understand the right history. Hey, by the way, if what I'm saying is correct, then that means you can't have fossils before sin. So how do you explain billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth? Hey, if there was a global flood, you know what you'd expect to find? You'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And actually, I believe that most of your fossil record is the record of the flood. It's a graveyard warning us that God judged sin. He judged the wickedness of man, but it's also a wonderful message of love because he provided an ark of salvation for Noah, and he's provided an ark of salvation for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he will be saved. Hey, you know one of the things that we do at Answers in Genesis? We help people understand these things. We for instance, show them, hey, do you realize petrification, fossilization can happen very quickly? Here's a petrified bag of flour from Arkansas. It was left in a mill there in 1903, and it became petrified. That didn't take millions of years, did it? Hey, we help them understand things like this. In Australia, of course, the best country in the world. Hey, and my wife and I take a tour to Australia each year. Should get our flyer out there and consider coming with us next year. We give you a wonderful, wonderful tour. We know Australia like the back of our hands. It's very unique. And we do it at our cost. But anyway, people go to Australia and they want to buy opals. You know, we were taught that opals took millions of years to form. You know that opal there? Well, that opal was grown in 3 months by a man who figured out the recipe for opal. Hey, you know what this is here? This is a red blood cell in a dinosaur bone, a T-Rex bone, found by secular scientists in Montana who got the shock of their lives because, you see, that bone's supposed to be 65 million years old, but you wouldn't find red blood cells in a bone 65 million years old. Hey, do you realize the more we look at these things, we realize that science confirms the Bible? Isn't it exciting to be a Christian? It really is. And that brings me to the final part here, just to sum this up. I mean, we could talk for millions of years on this topic, believe me, but here's the bottom line. Here's why it really matters. You see, if you believe the Bible's history, if God is the creator, then God owns you, then God sets the rules. You're accountable to him. But if you believe, no, I don't believe the Bible's history, I believe man has a right to determine truth, and we're just an animal and so on, then who owns you? You do. Who sets the rules? You do. You see, as a Christian, why do I believe in right and wrong? Why do I believe that marriage is one man for one woman for life? Why do I believe the rightful place for sex within marriage, one man for one woman? Why do I believe there's standards of clothing and so on? Because there's a moral absolute, because there's an absolute authority, because the Bible's truth. But you see, if you believe no man determines truth. See, when you believe in millions of years, even as a Christian, you know what you're really saying? You're really saying man decides truth apart from the Word of God. Because you see, you don't get millions of years from the Bible. The man by himself can determine truth. And if you want to reinterpret the Bible's geology and biology and astronomy and anthropology, you know what you'll end up doing? You'll start to reinterpret the Bible's morality, which is what we see happening. Why not write your own rules? Why not decide truth for yourself? Why not decide what you want about sex? Get rid of spare cats, get rid of spare kids. What's the difference? You know what we see happening in America today? We see the collapse of Christian morality increase in secular humanism. You know why? Because there's been a change foundationally. You know what the change is? Progressively, generation after generation, much of the church said, well, we don't have to believe the days. We can take the millions of years and reinterpret the days. We can reinterpret the flood. We can take Darwin's ideas, reinterpret the biology, take the Big Bang, reinterpret the astronomy. That door got pushed open further and further, and more generations said, well, why not reinterpret the rest of it? You know, I had a Christian say to me, well, a number of times I say this, they say, but wait a minute, you don't have to believe in 6 days to get to heaven. I mean, I can believe in 6 days, I can believe the days of creation of millions of years and still be a born-again Christian. The Bible says if Christ be not raised from the dead, our faith is in vain. It doesn't say if you don't believe in 6 days, you can't be saved. You know what my answer to that is? There's a man who called up on radio recently and he said, I just don't like the way you creationists say that if you don't believe in 6 days, you can't be saved. He said, I'm going to stand before the God of creation and claim the blood of Christ, and that's why I'm saved. And I said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. I've never said if you don't believe in 6 days, you're not saved. I said, anyway, it's not your salvation I'm worried about. It's those who you leave here on earth, who you've told you don't have to take the Bible as written, who won't take the message of Christ seriously. That's who I'm worried about. You see, because I say to such people, you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Yeah. How do you know that? What do you mean? Were you there? No? Got a movie rerun? No? How do you know Jesus rose from the dead? Well, over here in the Bible, oh, you're quoting that book? Oh, you expect me to take that seriously? Oh, I see. I see. But over here in Genesis, it says 6 days. Oh, no, we don't have to believe that. Oh, I see. You don't have to believe that bit, but you do have to believe this bit. Wow, that's really consistent. How do you know there's a virgin birth? Well, in the Bible, you're quoting that book again. See, you want me to take this as written here, but not over here. Friends, do you realize what happened? Do you realize why the issue of 6 days is important? Do you realize why it's the key to inerrancy? Because if you start at the beginning and say, even though it says 6 days, it doesn't mean it, because of millions of years you've unlocked a door to undermine biblical authority that says you can take man's ideas outside the Bible to reinterpret the Bible progressively, generation after generation, will push that door open even further till we lose biblical authority from the foundation of this nation, and then a new structure will arise, which is what we're seeing happening across this nation today. And in fact, I sum it up with these two castle diagrams. Here's the foundation of evolution, millions of years, the castle of humanism comes out of that, those issues that come out of that, abortion, etc. And there's the foundation of creation, the structure of Christianity. You know, the secular humanists are very clever. How do you destroy Christianity? Don't aim for the virgin birth or the resurrection. No, aim for the history, because once the history's gone, the rest will go anyway. And you know what many churches, Christians have done? Here, we'll help you destroy our own history. We can believe in the Big Bang, billions of years. It doesn't matter. And then we look out there and say, look at all the social ills. We've got to fight abortion. We've got to fight homosexual behavior. Don't get me wrong. We need to stand against those evils publicly. But friends, I want to say this to you. They are not the problems. They are the symptoms. They are the symptoms of a loss of biblical authority. And you know one of the sad things? You can spend millions of dollars fighting abortion and so on, but if you don't deal with the foundational issue of the authority of the Word of God beginning in Genesis and answer the questions of the world where they're at today and show people that we believe God's Word is history from the beginning and lay that foundation for the generations of people in our world today, we are not going to be successful in fighting the culture war. And you know why I believe we're losing the culture war for all the effort in fighting the social ills? Because we've been fighting the symptoms and we haven't done what I picture in this second diagram here, and that is we need to be restoring the foundation of the authority of the Word of God. We need to be attacking the wrong foundation of history that's so prevalent in our culture so that we can rebuild that structure. You can't change a country, a culture from the top down when it changed from the foundation up. You can't impose Christian morality on a culture that no longer has the foundation for it. We've got to deal with those foundational issues. And that's really what the ministry of Answers in Genesis is all about. And just before I close, let me just mention to you, you know, one of the reasons I do this is because I just have such a burden. You know, I didn't have answers. You know those materials you see on the tables out there? Those books and videos? That's just a sprinkling. When I was a teenager, I didn't have any of those. And young people, you are so blessed today. You are. The Lord has raised up scientists, creation researchers all over the world who have provided information for you to give you answers. When I came across the first book that gave me answers, wow, I got so excited. I just want to tell the world. It's one of the reasons why, to me, such an integral part, I could not leave a service like this without saying, at least directing you to a couple of things that I would encourage you to look at And by the way, we have a wonderful website, answersingenesis.org, for the radio listeners, answersingenesis.org. And friends, just as I hand back to the pastor, let me say this. There may be some people here tonight, even as Christians, and you've realized, you know what, I haven't stood on the authority of God's word like I should have. I've said the days don't matter, and it doesn't matter about millions of years. Let me ask you a question. Does it matter what God's word says? Absolutely. So it does matter about millions of years, doesn't it? Because otherwise we're saying, God, I don't care what your word says. I want to believe what I want to believe. I pray tonight, you realize we need to take a stand on the authority of the word of God. Maybe there's some here who are not Christians who thought that science has disproved the Bible. Science hasn't disproved the Bible. In fact, you know what? Science confirms the Bible. Often when I get on to debate an evolutionist on radio, they often say, oh, you've got all these facts for creation? I say, no, I've got the same facts you do. And they say, but you're on about religion, we're about science. And I say, no, I'm on about the same science you are. It's not the science that's the problem. It's not the facts that are the problem. It's your history into which you interpret that science and the facts, because actually real science confirms the Bible's historicity. It is exciting being a Christian. I pray that every one of us here knows that this is the Word of God. We can trust it. We know that we can defend our faith. And most of all, we put our trust and faith in the one who is the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became one of us, stepping into that lineage of history to die for us and be raised from the dead. What a message for the world. I'll hand back to you, Pastor.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, your co-host, Melissa Canchola. Melissa, are you on there?
Yeah. That was very good.
Very good. Yeah, I actually, the Creation and the Gospel conference that they had earlier this year, I went to, he spoke the exact message, which is an awesome message, very interesting, by Dr. Kent Ham. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're not going to do the Steve Lawson one. We'll save it for next week. We have plenty of time next week, too. So take a quick break here on Truth Be Told Radio. Be right back.
The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Go to the internet and type in the search word evangelism or how to be saved. Go to the sites listed and find their gospel message. See if there is a sound biblical gospel presentation. Do they open up the law, warn of judgment day and hell as Jesus did? Do they preach the cross, the resurrection, repentance, and faith? Is Jesus presented as the answer to life's problems or as the savior from sin?
Watch Christian TV and analyze their gospel presentation. Is it lacking content? Then learn from their mistakes. Don't have a condescending attitude, but determine to make sure you always put in what they leave out. And take a moment to pray for them, that they return to the biblical presentation.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by wayofthemasterradio.com.
How does I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, differ from, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, when Paul seems to say that Christians, and by extension churches, should identify only with Christ? I'm not sure that's what the text says, that you identify only with Christ. What Paul is concerned about is divisions in the church at Corinth that were rooted in pride and caused boasting. The reason I hesitate is because Paul said to them, I'm your father. I was like a midwife to bring you into existence. Imitate me as I imitate God. And it sounds like Paul wants them to love him, admire him, follow him, and then he's an apostle, and he's got authority. So he wants them to submit to his letters when he writes, and he doesn't want that to feel in conflict with Peter. Peter writes his letters, and Peter's got his children, and those who were saved by Peter, and those who are saved by Paul surely will have a special affection for their father in the faith, but that doesn't mean they have to be in animosity with each other. So that's what he's concerned about, this boasting. I've got Peter, I've got Paul. So that boasting is wrong, and animosity towards each other, that's wrong. Those are the kinds of things I think he's opposing. Now, and I'm not saying that everything about denominational differences is okay. I'm just saying when you have convictions about what the Bible teaches and you are bound to live by those convictions, because Paul says let everybody be convinced in his own mind instead of being always sitting on the fence with every issue, if you're convinced to live, then you're going to find yourself in groups of people that are sharing those convictions, but you don't have to be proud or angry at this other group that say, well, we really do think we should baptize our children. And we say, but it's not biblical. We think it is biblical. And in the same church, you can't work it. You can't work it. And so you have these churches, and you grieve over that somebody's not seeing clearly here, or both of us are not seeing clearly here, and yet you don't have to throw hate bombs over those fences. You can throw love bombs. You can say to the world, and I think the world really, it's differences that give us an occasion to show the world what love unity means. So if a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Baptist, Pentecostal are sitting in a TV program with Larry King or whatever, they could talk about each other and their vertical commitment to Christ in a way that would make the world say, that's different than the kind of arguments I get into. So I think that's where Paul wants us to go in this text, rather than saying you must give up on your convictions.
You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. The Way of the Master Minute. Here's Kurt Cameron and Ray Comfort.
Have you ever studied the moon? Its purpose is to be a light in the night, and it gives light by reflecting the sun. The church is like the moon. We reflect the light of God in the darkness of the sinful world. But there's another side to the moon. It has an invisible gravitational pull that affects the tides of the earth. With God's help, the church can affect the tides of revival on this earth.
Revival is merely the church doing what it should. Can you imagine what would happen if every Christian became passionate about sharing his or her faith? If every Christian said, "For me to live is Christ," and they witnessed biblically, we would have revival. So today, pray for laborers and encourage other Christians to reach out to the lost.
There goes another minute. Gone forever. Go share your faith while you still have time.
Brought to you by WayOfTheMasterRadio.com.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm Guy Reynolds, your co-host with your host online. Host with the most, Melissa Cantola. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah.
I just always wanted to use that, you know, host with the most type stuff, and I really don't know what most I'm talking about or anything.
Hostess with the mostest.
The mostest, right? But hostess is a snack cake, so I don't know if we want to go that route. So anyway, is there anything you'd like to comment on? We were going to switch gears and kind of move on to something else. So I've got a couple things lined up here.
Not really. I'm just wondering what she have planned next.
Oh, so for once you're being surprised, and I was surprised before.
Yeah.
No, we've got a couple things. Wash are talking about God letting Esau be Esau. It's a little thing we can play and then comment on if we want. Then of course I've got another apologetics song that has to do with the story of Zacchaeus. And I've got Todd witnessing in, to a self-righteous older woman.
Zacchaeus was a wee little
man. Yeah, that there's actually a skit that the skit guys do. It's hilarious that one of the skit guys say that. They say Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and the other guy plays the kid, and he's crying, and he says, we, little man, he says, you said we, and you said we again, you know, we, stuff like that. And then he says, he climbed up the sycamore tree, and the kid starts crying again. He says, what are you crying about? He says, the tree. He said, yeah, sycamore tree. And he cries even more, and he goes, what's so funny about that? Why are you crying? He said, because every time you talk about the tree, it keeps getting sicker. Sycamore. I've done that skit before. It's a hilarious skit. Skit guys are pretty funny. They've taught me a lot of stuff about Christian drama and everything. So if you get a chance to check them out, Skit Guys, you can Google Skit Guys. So, but anyway, I've got to do the. Sorry? Can't hear you. What was that?
Earlier, Ken Ham, it was funny at the beginning of the thing, he said that he looks like Abraham Lincoln, but sounds like Crocodile Dundee. I was like, that's so true. I always think he looks like Abraham Lincoln.
He does do that. He's actually shorter more in person. I've seen him at the Answers in Genesis conference there, the Wretched Vacation, so to speak.
His hair is kind of like a redhead, I think, isn't it? Like, kind of orange.
Yeah, that's what it used to be. I think it's more gray now, but.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we've got about 28 minutes left. We'll move on to this apologetic song. This song, I can't remember the song that it's. Maybe you can help me out when you hear it. The song that it's parodying. I don't have it right off the bat where it is, but. This song is about Zacchaeus, and it gives scripture in it and the story. And where was Zacchaeus from? Can you tell me, Melissa?
I can't remember. Sorry.
It would be a good lead into the song because the song is the actual name where he was from. From a town. This is apologetics, and Zacchaeus was from a town called Jericho. All right, welcome back. Truth Be Told Radio at Apologetics with Gary Coe, apologetics.com, APOLOGETIX.com. Can't remember the song.
I can hear you. I can't figure out the name. I can't remember. Maybe I heard it before. But also, sounds good, but you got to remember, say, about 25% because there's distortion.
Yeah, I played that one at 50. Yeah, I've got the others here at 25%, so.
Okay. But other than that, it's a good song, and I can't remember if I ever really heard the name of it before, the original song, but sounds good. Who do we sing it?
Yeah, I like a lot of their songs, and we'll do another one here in a couple minutes here. But I'll play this clip by Paul Washer. God Let Esau Be Esau. It's probably a 9-minute clip that'll pull us into the end. We can give our closings and all that stuff, closing thoughts. Actually, you know what? I might just play this witnessing clip because I believe law and the gospel might be in order about right now.
Okay.
Witnessing clip is not very long either. Yeah. It's
if you want to end the show, we want to end the show like towards the end. There's an ending thing that lasts about a minute. It says ending to Truth Be Told Radio.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's no problem. This is about an 8-minute clip, and then we'll just discuss afterwards about it, and then that'll give us a good, because it's 23 minutes. So. Okay, we'll save the Esau one there, but we'll listen to this clip. Todd Friel from Wretched Radio, wretchedradio.com. This is from a CD called Terrified. We play them, give people a little more courage of witnessing. And on Terrified, they have like 27 different witnessing clips, 27 different types of people you can witness to. And using the law and the gospel is universal because the Bible tells us to. The Bible tells us the law brings about the knowledge of sin. And Paul said, I have not known sin but by the law. So the law is a mirror to show our sin. But Todd's going to deal with here an older woman that's holding on to her self-righteousness. As sad as this is, we still need to deal with this the same way and pray for this woman that if she hasn't got saved already, for her to get saved. So this is on the CD, Terrified, from wretchedradio.com. You can get it there. This is Todd Friel, and you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
What you're about to hear is one of my least favorite witness encounters of all time. I have a confession to make. Witnessing to older people is really hard for me. I would much rather witness to a teenager or a 20-something because, well, I'm older than they are. It could be completely psychological, but I find it really hard. This woman that you're about to hear a witness encounter with, she was in her 60s. It's pretty hard for me to... All right, you sinner. You know, pretty tough to even go through the commandments in a reasonable way. So have you ever looked at anybody with lust? It's kind of awkward. But this woman was a special case. This woman didn't think that she had ever broken the Ten Commandments. Now, the reason that we put this witness encounter on here is because I have to confess to you, I did not do a very good job. If I could do it over again, I think that I would actually heat it up with this woman and actually give her an open rebuke. You know, madam, I've talked to an awful lot of people, and I don't know that I've ever met anybody more self-righteous than you. You are proclaiming your own goodness, and you are clinging to it like you've never broken the commandments. If you think that you're going to get away with this before a holy God, I have news for you. You will not, because either you are right or the Bible is right. But I didn't do that because I was chicken. You be the judge. This is a rather self-righteous senior citizen.
Where do you think you're going when you die?
Well, I hope to go to heaven.
Hope to go. How do you think somebody gets to heaven?
How do you get to heaven? By being a good person.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
I try very hard.
Have you kept the commandments?
I try very hard.
But have you kept them?
Yes, yes.
You've kept all the commandments?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Have you ever told a lie?
Little one.
Have you ever stolen anything?
No. Mm-mm.
Ever taken the Lord's name in vain?
No, I wouldn't want to.
Don't want to do that, yeah, me neither.
I'm a quiet person here.
You're a shy person?
No, I'm just saying I haven't done any big deals.
Have you? Did you always honor your parents when you were a child?
Oh, yes.
So they never had to, like, scold you or spank you or yell at you?
No, I never got spanked.
Did they ever? Did you always do everything you were told first time?
I hope so.
Boy, I'd like to raise kids like you. Boy. All right. So has God always been first in your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever coveted anything?
Coveted. Oh.
Desired something that didn't belong to you.
Sure.
We got you on one. So you told a little lie. You've coveted. All right.
Take anything that wasn't mine.
I know. Have you ever called somebody a fool?
I don't think so.
Idiot, moron, knucklehead?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I don't think to their face, no.
I ask you those questions because Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say, if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of the judgment. And the Bible goes on to say that you're a murderer at heart because God examines the intentions of the heart. You don't have to actually do the act. You just need to think about stuff like that and God finds you guilty. Yeah. So here's my question for you. If you die and stand before God, do you think he'd find you innocent or guilty of keeping his Ten Commandments?
I would be guilty of keeping his commandments.
Would you be guilty of breaking his commandments?
No.
But you've told a lie and coveted and been a murderer at heart.
I also believe that God is very just.
He's very just?
And he's very understanding. If my intentions in life are good.
Okay, I agree that he's just. But intentions aside, if you stood before a judge in earth and you were guilty of breaking the laws and he said, well, but my intentions are good, he probably wouldn't care if you've broken the law.
If I told a lie in my lifetime, I am not going to be judged to hell for one lie.
Actually, the Bible says that very thing. Did you know that? The Bible says that all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think the Bible might say something like that? That's pretty radical, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think?
Teaches a lesson.
Okay, would you consider this concept? That we maybe don't think lies are a big deal, but maybe to God they're a huge deal?
Oh, I'm sure they are a huge deal, yeah.
So maybe then when it says that all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, it means it.
He's the judge.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
So. But would he find you? It is up to him. But would he, if you haven't kept the commandments perfectly, should God let somebody into heaven who has broken his laws and who hasn't kept his commandments and who might be considered unclean?
What if I have atoned for my sin of lying?
How do you do that?
Suffering.
All right. Let me just suggest if you go into a courtroom and say, Judge, I broke that law, but I've really been suffering. Doesn't matter. Judge says, I still have to sentence you because you've broken the law so he can uphold justice.
Well, suffer some more.
What does that mean?
If he says, I don't care how much you've suffered, I'm still sending you to jail, then I must go to jail and suffer more.
Yeah.
Which I may not agree with.
Are you talking about hell?
Oh, no. You were talking about a judge in a courtroom now. He's not sending me to hell. A judge can't send me to hell.
But God could, right? Do you think that it would be fair for God to send lawbreakers to hell?
I don't know what God has in mind. He's the judge. So, you know, you can be a horrible criminal, but at the time of your death, you're sorry for what you did.
Well, again, sorry. I don't know how sorry gets you off the hook.
God's choice.
What's God's choice?
Whether he accepts that person's sorrow and repentance or not.
Well, now, yeah, see, I...
Good their whole life.
Right. We might be on the same page here. I'm not exactly sure. Yeah. You got to go. You keep your $1 million. Go ahead. Yeah, by all means. You talk to me. Keep $1 million. All right?
Solved anything, but thank you anyway.
Well, could you give me 30 seconds of your life before you walk away from me?
He had some.
I know. Give me 30 seconds more.
30 seconds, all right.
This is what I think the Bible teaches. God is really holy, he's righteous, and he's just, and he'll judge us all based on the intentions of our hearts and our actions. And if we violated a small crime, lots of crimes, makes no difference. If we're guilty, we're lawbreakers, he must punish in hell. But he offers forgiveness, but our fine has to be paid. Saying you're sorry isn't enough. If you stand in a courtroom and just say, "Judge, I'm sorry," he doesn't let you go. Somebody needs to step into the courtroom and pay your fine, right?
He already did.
Who?
Jesus.
There you go. There's a new blast of information. That's what I was hoping to hear you say. Jesus did that.
I knew that.
So Jesus paid your fine. So now how do you get forgiven by God before you die? Because when you die, it's too late. What do you need to do to be forgiven by God?
Well, I told you already I try to lead a good life. I try to be a good person. I try to be a good example for the people around me.
But that doesn't deal with the issue of your law breaking, all right? And that sounds like you're trying to...
I'm a lawbreaker.
That's the problem. The Bible says you're a lawbreaker. And you need forgiveness. The Bible says you must have a payment for your sins.
If I feel like I need to ask for forgiveness, I would do that.
But you don't think you do.
Well, when you say lawbreaker, I'm talking about a criminal.
Yeah. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments, too. The Bible says that all men sin and fall short of the standard of God. So whatever God's standard is to get in, we all fall short of it. And we need somebody to take care of us, to help us, to pay our fine for us, to atone for our sins.
Have him.
But the way to get that forgiveness, it's available to everybody, but it's only granted to those people who repent and put their trust in him, who die to themselves so he can make us born again, who confess their sins and forsake their sins and put their trust in Jesus Christ. Have you done that?
I hope so. I gotta go.
See ya. Thanks for talking to me. All right. Goodbye. See ya.
Welcome back to Truth Be Told Radio. As sad as that was to hear, there are many people like that. There are many people like that. Maybe you listening right now are like that self-righteous woman. Obviously, it does make me nervous to talk to anyone older and seasoned in years. But once again, we have to do it in a loving way. Are you like that woman? Self-righteous? Do you think, well, maybe I've done a few things in my life to break God's law, but God's all-forgiving, all-loving? Well, the Bible says we have broke his law. We have, and we look at the moral law, we see we've fallen way short of his standard. As the scripture says, we've fallen way short of his standard, and that we need forgiveness of sins. Whether you believe it or not, there is going to be a judgment day, and if God's a good, righteous judge, he is right in everything he does, and he must punish lawbreakers, and the punishment for that is eternity in hell, whether you believe it or not. What will you say to God on that day? Will you say, "God, I lived a good life, I've been a good person," or will you not say anything at all? Will you be before him just in awe and knowing what you've done wrong, and you've seen your sins the way God sees it, to being a lawbreaker? Lie one time, you're a liar. If you stole one thing in your life, no matter how small, regardless of the value, you're a thief. You look with lust. Jesus said you commit adultery in your heart. If you hate anyone without cause, if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of the judgment. And you're a murderer at heart if you hate someone, because hate starts in the heart. You know you've broken God's law. We can go through every one of the commandments. You've broken them. So I haven't murdered anyone. We just discussed that. You haven't put God first, but coveted things in your life, one of the things to something that didn't belong to you. So you've broken God's law, and a just judge must punish a criminal, even on earth. So how much more should God punish? Not just rapists and murderers, but thieves and liars. The Bible says all liars are either part in the lake of fire, no thief, no adulterer, no blasphemer, took God's name in vain. They won't ever inherit the kingdom of God. Need forgiveness of sins. God did provide a way out in his son, Jesus Christ, 32 to 33 years in his earthly existence. He lived a sinless life all those years he was on earth. God became a man in flesh, dwelt on this earth, didn't sin one time, didn't break one law to be broken. He sent his son to die a bloody, horrible death. Jesus went voluntarily to the cross, voluntarily. No one had to push him. He did it voluntarily because he loves us so much, gave his life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever shall believe on him, not perish, but have everlasting life." God offers a way out. It's by repentance. Repenting of your sins, not just saying you're sorry, turning from those sins and putting your full trust in Jesus Christ as the only way. You just said that in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. It's either true or it's not. Please, I beg you, take the only way out while you still have time. Cry out to God in a prayer, in your own words to God. Not a sinner's prayer, not something quoted from someone else. Cry out to God. If you open up the book of Psalm 51, you read that. That's David's prayer of repentance. You want to learn how to pray. Cry out to God. Ask Him to forgive you for everything you've done. Turn from your sins and trust Jesus with everything you have. He promises He'll give you everlasting life. That's the promise, and God never breaks His promises, although we do. This guy, and you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. Bring on Melissa. Melissa, are you there?
Yeah. When I was earlier speaking of about the lady that he was saying, like, he doesn't like to talk to older people, I thought he would just say for the reason that I thought. Because the reason that, well, not everybody, but, like, a lot of people, when you get older, the older you get, it seems like the harder the heart gets, and people are more stubborn and set in their ways. So that is
the reason. I mean, I get scared because I've always been taught, even before I was a Christian, to respect my elders. Grandfather taught me that, and that was one of the things. And even more so now, you get people that are seasoned and up there in their age, and they you can't teach me anything. I've learned everything. When the truth is, if someone's not a Christian, they haven't been taught everything. Even if they've been told the way of eternal life and they haven't received it, then they don't. I mean, I've heard of people getting saved in their 60s, 70s, 80s, even 90s, and for the first time getting soundly saved. So God can save anyone, whether you're young or a teenager, or you're middle aged, or older. The gospel applies to everyone. Everyone needs the gospel. Everyone needs God's forgiveness. There's not one person on this earth that doesn't need it. So you go around, the gospel is universal, and everyone needs it to be saved and to spend eternity in heaven with our Messiah, Jesus Christ.
What else might happen too, though? It's possible for God to save anyone. But like you said about respecting your elder, like someone who's older might resent someone who's younger talking to them. Also, like they'll be like, "Oh, who you tell me I know more than you or something because I'm older," or something like that. That may happen.
Yeah, I mean, Timothy, Paul's charged to Timothy. He said, "Don't let anyone look down on you because of your age," and that happens a lot.
Yeah.
Although the gospel, when people know they have head knowledge and intellectual knowledge of the gospel, until you have heart knowledge of the gospel, God hasn't saved you. You can hear all your life Jesus died on the cross and why he died on the cross. Until it becomes real to you, until the Holy Spirit makes it real to you, then God can't save you if you're in your proud condition, if you have a hard heart or you're prideful. You come to God humble. He looks for humble and contrite spirits. Come to him. We have about 6 minutes remaining. Let me ask you, Melissa, that ending, will it automatically come on the last minute?
Oh, no, you have to play it. It says,
okay.
It says something.
I see that Truth Be Told Radio ending. I actually have a song on cue by Chris Tomlin. You probably heard of Jesus Messiah.
Yeah. Well, you can play that, and then, if we have about 2 minutes left, you could probably play the ending, because the ending's about a minute, 35 seconds or something like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, dude. But goes on, basically, this song is around four. I believe it's around 4 minutes. Four minutes, 49 seconds. So it's almost 5 minutes. Well, we have 5 minutes left, so.
Well, I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening. And you could check us out at truthbetoldradio.com for more info that has our email addresses, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, everything like that. And thank you all for listening. And we're on every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time. And, well, like you said, I'm on the West Coast. I'm a California Houston guy on the East Coast. And thank you for the thing.
Yes, I just echo that. Thank you all for listening to this a lot, for podcasting it. If you have any questions or comments, any ways to improve the show, or any snarks, anything you have, you're not sure you're saved, you can go to truthbetoldradio.com. You have our email addresses on there, our Twitter, Facebook, like she said. You can also catch us on iTunes. Just search Truth Be Told Radio, and you can catch the podcast and download them and listen to all the glorious podcasts. Maybe we'll get some more listeners that way. But anyhow, once again, everyone stay faithful. Melissa, God bless you. Thank you for doing this show. And everybody else, stay faithful. You have not repented and put your trust in Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say if you do that, you're going to get cars or prosperity. I'm going to say he can save you from your sins. He can. God wishes to forgive your sins. You need to cry out to him in repentance, turning from your sin in full trust in Jesus Christ. Once again, this is Truth Be Told Radio. And as soon as I refresh this, we have about 3 minutes remaining. It'll go over into the get the full podcast, the full song. Chris Tomlin, with Jesus Messiah. Well, how did that happen? There it is. God bless you all. Stay faithful. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Blessed Redeemer. blessed redeemer.